recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all once again to another Talk Show segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. And today it's going to be a continuation of the ministry of the prophet. This going to be like part two, because it was some things that the Lord had pointed out to me that needed to be stated and taught that I didn't go into greater detail on last time. Today we're going to definitely get into what it is that the Lord is saying concerning the office. Well, not office, the ministry of the prophet. And I really don't call it office, because when you think about an office, you think about somebody that you can pick and choose, somebody that you can elect yourself and kick out. You know, like the presidential, the president, that's an office. Amen. That's an office. And, you know, we can vote the president in and out, but you can't necessarily vote an apostle or prophet out, or an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, even though some churches vote pastors in, but that's not, you know, the will of God. You have to be chosen from birth to walk in a ministry like that of the fivefold. Amen. So before we get started, I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you're doing today. I thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that you have made. And I thank you, Father, for the word that's going to go forth tonight, Father, by your Spirit and not by me, Father. I just thank you, and I bless your name, Father. Let it change the mindset of your people, Father. Let your anointing go forth, Father. This is your conference line, your phone line. This is your show. You have your way. Do whatever you want to do, how you want to do it, the way you do it best, Father. Father, just have your way, Father. And I thank you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My God. Still waiting for some more people that said it was going to come in, amen. But, you know, I'm just going to get started today. Amen. First thing that we have to begin to do is, when it comes to the prophetic, we have to get everything in its proper order. You know, because the prophetic, not in order, it creates chaos. I'm going to say that again. The prophetic, when it's not operating in the guidelines of the set guidelines according to the Word of God, then it tends to get a little out of order. Amen. And I know sometimes prophets, you know, we some weird folks. We some weird people. You know, the Lord had all the prophets in the Bible were weird. I mean, you find them more weirder than the apostles. Amen. If you look at the ministry of the prophet compared to the ministry of the apostle, a lot of times the prophets seem more weirder than the apostles. Praise God. And the reason being is because of the special grace that is upon the life of a prophet. Amen. And we really going to look into this tonight. The first thing we have to begin to start doing is the Bible tells us that all prophecy should be judged. I'm going to say it again. All prophecy should be judged. And I'm going to prove that real quick. I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians first. 1 Thessalonians, start at verse 19. Verse 19, I'll probably read all the way up to the 21st verse. Verse 19 not 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesy. Amen. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. That word prove means test. prove all things. And this is the same category as quench not the spirit and, you know, don't despise prophecy. Amen. It says prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So when all this is going on, amen, extract the good out of it. Amen. It said quench not the spirit. However, we must prove or test what's operating and what's going on in the atmosphere. Because a lot of times the Spirit of the Lord gets to moving, amen, and God moves the way that he wants to move, and he does what he wants to do, you know. But sometimes, you know, people go beyond the boundaries that the Spirit of God sets, you know. That's when you start operating in flesh, amen. That's when you start trying to move in a spiritual place in your flesh, amen. So you know, we just have to begin to really know what God is doing. Amen. And especially when it comes to the prophetic, I mean, you can't fully know what God is doing. You got to flow with him. But at the same time, you know, God is not going to go against, you know, the order that he set in the word. Amen. Not the order that man set, because every order that man sets ought to be set according to the word. And we have so many man-made traditions now that are not in the word of God. Praise God. But we'll get into that in another time. Amen. But I want to read something else. I want to read something else. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. 29-33. That's what I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak while the others weigh what it says. Now, I'm reading from the complete Jewish Bible. It says, let two or three prophets speak while the others weigh what it said. So when you all come together, amen, in the local assembly, what we call the church, it said, if there's a word of the Lord that goes forth, let two or three prophets speak. If you have 10 prophets in the church, you know, all 10 prophets shouldn't get up and give a prophecy. Amen. That's bringing order and balance to the prophetic gift, because prophets, we always feel and know when God is speaking something. All right? We always know what God is speaking. Why? Because God reveals it to the prophet first. Amen. So the Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So we don't have it all, but we have a whole lot of it. Amen. We got some. Amen. So, you know, two or three prophets at a time are supposed to speak in every local assembly. When the people of God are gathering together, it's supposed to be two or three prophets. Amen. You know, some churches you go to, they have about 4 or 5 prophets that get up there and speak. You know, that tends to cause chaos a lot. You know, because everybody got something different that they feel like God is saying. And a lot of things, you know, when you go into a service, yes, God may show you some things, but it's not always for you to speak on everything you see. See, the reason why as prophets the Lord shows us stuff, you know, a lot of times when we pray and we intercede, we know better how to pray and intercede when we have insight into what's going on. I believe I said that in the last segment. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it says, and if something is revealed to a prophet who is sitting down, let the first one be silent. Amen. So, if the lead prophet get up there and speak and something else is revealed to another prophet that's sitting down, or check this out, if a prophet is getting up there speaking and a more seasoned prophet is sitting down and something is revealed to that prophet, the first one that's speaking is supposed to let the other one speak. Amen. This is how you judge prophecy. And the first time I said it, I had it switched. If somebody's getting up there and they're prophesying, praise God, And the prophet is judging the word, finds something wrong with the prophecy, then the prophet is judging the word can speak. The first one that's speaking is supposed to sit down. And the reason why it's like that is because as a prophet, words, our words are very powerful as prophets. Our words are very powerful, and if we are not careful in what we say, and then if we're not speaking exactly what God is saying, it could damage some folks. I've seen people go to church and get prophesied over, and the prophet say, you're going to get such and such, and so many amount of days, you just got to do this and do that and give away and give all your money away to sow into my ministry. And, you know, they do that, and after a certain amount of days, it don't come to pass. Them folks who gave everything, believing in the word of the prophet, because they use that scripture, believe in the prophets, and so shall you prosper, which you will if you believe the word of the Lord from a legitimate, proven prophet, yeah. But these people will end up losing their minds. You know, so that's why, you know, you can't be so quick to run to services that has the word prophet in front of it. You can't do that. Because you have to be discerning, because I don't care if a guest prophet comes from out of town. Somebody's supposed to be there in that service judging and discerning what that prophet is saying. All prophecy is supposed to be judged, but, you know, we don't really do that no more, you know. And I believe that if we start judging prophecy, excuse me, if we start judging prophecy accordingly to how the Bible says, we'll find less casualties in the church as a result of prophetic ministry being abused or their gift being misused. Amen. It says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, with the result that all will learn something and will be encouraged." Hallelujah. Also, the prophet's spirits are under the control, under the prophet's control. That's the scripture where it says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. For God is not the God of unruliness or confusion, but of peace, as in all, not some, all the congregations of God's people. So this just don't apply to one particular church. It applies to all churches. Amen. It don't apply to just such and such church up the street or your church. It's supposed to apply to every local assembly that's named in the name of Jesus that got God's name on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I bless God today. For all prophecy is supposed to be judged, and the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. A lot of times, being that prophets are so spontaneous, a lot of times, you know, sometimes, you know, prophets tend to get a little out of control. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, prophets are very unique people. God will have the prophet to do some things, you know, that seems a little odd a lot of times, most of the time. However, you know, that prophet also actions need to be judged or discerned also to show to prove that's truly the Spirit of God or not. And any seasoned prophet that's judging any word or conduct of another prophet will know whether that's the Spirit of God or not, despite how it looks to them or everybody else. You know, I'm a living witness. You know, I've seen of some prophets that do some weird stuff. Some of them prophesy weird, you know. But despite how it looks to me, I don't go by how it looks. I go by what the Spirit of the Lord shows me and tells me. If the Lord tells me that's him, I don't care how crazy it looks. I don't care what nobody else say. I'm going with God. Amen. We can't get caught up in how things look sometimes, because we'll end up missing God. Amen. Hallelujah. So prophecy must be judged. Prophets must be judged. Amen. We're going to get more into that in a little bit. And I believe that if prophets start being judged, and the word judge just means to distinguish or discern. Amen. It's discerning the flesh from the spirit. I believe if prophets be judged, not just by their gift but by their character, amen, then we'll have less casualties when it comes to the prophetic. And then because I've seen a lot of people damaged as a result of the prophetic being abused. Amen. So we have to be very, very careful when it comes to that, praise God. When judging prophecy, we must know first, we must see first of all if it builds up the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and 4. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church." A lot of prophets think that this don't apply to them because, you know, this is just for the gift of prophecy, which is true. But all prophecy itself, rather, is despite what God speak or whatever, you know, in the end, the people should be built up. And I'm gonna get more into the chastisement of the Lord in a few minutes, because even when God chastises, I'm gonna prove the scripture. Even if the Lord rebukes you, He's always looking to restore. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of people come in, you know, with that prophetic gift, and they come and they cut, but they never bring the medicine to heal. You see, because God wished that none perish, so He's not going to leave you hurt and wounded, and not give an opportunity for healing and restoration to take place. Amen. And a lot of times when prophets do that, then that means that you need to be delivered from a critical spirit. You know, because God is trying to save a people. He's not trying to destroy a people. Matter of fact, He's doing everything He can to keep from destroying a people. Amen. He wants to save people. Hallelujah. So it must build up the body. Rather the word is the exhorting word, and I'm just talking about the prophet here, because anybody who's not in the ministry of the prophet, they have and prophesy is the gift of prophecy. And when you're operating the gift of prophecy, you can't do what a prophet does. Amen. It's just certain things, like prophets can speak judgment, but even in the midst of judgment, God always leaves room for repentance. Amen. So judgment ain't speaking death, saying you're going to die and stuff like that. Certain things God may speak that's going to happen if this person don't get this thing right, you know. A person with the gift of prophecy does not do that. And if a person who's not a prophet is speaking or prophesying in that manner, you see, then they are operating outside of their grace. Amen. And that word will most likely fall to the ground. Hallelujah. We must be comfortable in operating in our grace. Amen. So it must build up the body. Amen. Now, when judging prophecy too, we must second thing we must do is discern or know, rather exalt Jesus. Now, judging prophecy is very easy. You know, do it build up the body, do it exalt Jesus. I got two scriptures for you on that. I'm going to go to John. John. Amen. Hallelujah. John 16. John 16, verse 13. It says, "How about when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth." This Jesus talking now. "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Catch that. It says, he shall glorify me. My Lord. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. So when the Spirit of God is in operation, it's always going to point it right back to Jesus, right? Okay, Revelation. Revelation, this is everybody's favorite scripture. A lot of folks' favorite scripture. Revelation 19, verse 10. It says, as I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? I looked up that word spirit, and that word spirit literally means heart and breath. It means heart and breath. Amen. So the testimony of Jesus is the heart or the breath of prophecy. It's the source of prophecy. So every prophetic word ought to point folks back to Jesus. Amen. I heard somebody say this. I heard another prophet say this one time on YouTube. He said that if I come to a church to minister, and if they leave, and if they leave the church talking about me, I have failed as a prophet. See, prophecy, all prophecy is supposed to point folks to God. It's supposed to give recognition to God. Even if you're receiving a personal prophetic word from God, maybe through another individual, it should never cause you to look at the individual, but it should cause you to look at your source, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if a prophetic word got you looking at you and got you trusting in your ability, amen, then something is wrong with that word also. Amen. Let me say that again. If somebody gives you a prophetic word and that word got you looking at you and depending on your abilities, amen, then something is wrong with that prophetic word. That word is not real. Amen. Either it's not real or it's tainted. Amen. And we have to be careful with tainted prophecy. We really do. We have to be very careful with tainted prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah. Just trying to get this chat room straight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just having some difficulties with my computer and internet, amen, but I'm going to keep going. Praise God. Amen. Do I have anybody on the line? Because I can't really see nothing. My computer's acting up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So Jesus should be at the core of every prophecy somewhere. That prophecy ought to point you back to God. That prophecy ought to cause you to lean and depend even more on God. It should cause you to worship God. It should cause you to thank God and rejoice in God. Amen. Also, when judging prophecy, a lot of times, when a prophetic word goes forth or a word of wisdom goes forth from a prophetic vessel, and if the word is futuristic, amen, then that word should be also judged. Now, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 18:22. Deuteronomy 18:22. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 18:22. See, Alice just logged into the chat room. God bless you. North Central Texas is on the line. God bless you. Let me go to Deuteronomy 18:22. Hallelujah. Now, check this out. It says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the prediction, I'm reading from my Jewish Bible, and the prediction does not come true, that is, the word is not fulfilled, then the Lord did not speak that word. The prophet has the prophet who said it spoke it presumptuously. You have nothing to fear from him. And I looked up that word presumptuously. Amen. And that word presumptuously in the Hebrew means pride, arrogance, contempt. And the word contempt means regarding someone as inferior, base, or worthless, to scorn, or to disgrace. Amen. So most prophets that speak words that don't come to pass, a lot of times, when it says that the prophet spoke it presumptuously, that means that there's some pride and some arrogance there. Because understand this, that, you know, we all have had our off prophecies. Amen. We all have spoke stuff that we said that was God, and it did not come to pass, you know, at some point in time. You know, but I noticed that the more a prophet stays in the presence of God, the less that becomes. Because one thing about the presence of God, so you have to be humble in order in the presence of God. Amen. The Bible says that flesh cannot glory his presence. Amen. And pride is an attribute of the flesh. So when a prophet constantly stays broken and humble before God and the presence of God, you will find that, you know, off prophecies will be less and less. Amen. But when a prophet, you know, goes about, you know, trying to speak stuff because they think they have a gift or they have an office or they have an anointing, amen, and that word does not come to pass and they swear up and down that it's God, then there's some pride and some arrogance somewhere. Amen. And one thing about being a prophet, just because you are a prophet or a prophetess don't mean that you look down on other folks. Amen. It does not mean that you look down on other folks. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say this too, because I want to set the record straight real quick. And I see a couple more folks have come on the call. Apostle Turner, God bless you. Alice and guest four. God bless you, guest four. Even if a prophet, check this out, even if a prophet has a word of rebuke, correction, warning, judgment, whatever the case may be, if the people are not exhorted to seek the Lord as the solution to the issue addressed, then that prophet has not fulfilled his or her assignment. I'm going to show you something real quick. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 12. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 6 to 11. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, right? He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So it means that if the Lord love you, if you do wrong habitually, he's going to whoop you. Amen. If you endure chastening, God did it with you as a son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Amen. So right there, amen, if the Lord get on you, rebuke you, whatever, that goes to show, amen, that you are a son or a daughter of God. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye then are ye bastards and not sons. Hallelujah. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That means we respected them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Hallelujah. So if you endure the chastisement, accept it, embrace it, let God get it about you, get it right, you're going to live. Amen? Live. For they verily for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we take us of his holiness. If you're not being chastised by God, if God is not keeping you straight, then it's impossible to be holy. Now, no chastisement, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. It don't feel good. But it yielded peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or trained thereby. So even if the Lord comes in and rebukes, even if he sends you into a house as a prophet and you got to rebuke and set some stuff in order and call out some stuff, amen, understand this, that if you just come into a house and cut everybody, but then don't present the medicine for them to be healed, then you have not done your job as a prophet. We have too many wounding prophets out here, amen. And for those of you who have just logged in, because quite a bit of you just came in, I was talking about how prophecy must be judged in the house. I believe that we start operating according to the biblical standards for judging prophecy, we will find less casualties in the body of Christ as a result of the prophetic ministry being abused. Amen. So when somebody comes in the house, or somebody that's in the house who has a position of being a prophet, there should be some more prophets in that house that's able to judge their word. And the Bible says that the one that's sitting down has a word, that means the one that's judging. And the one that's judging the prophecy has a word, then the one that's standing up speaking need to let the one that's sitting down speak. Because, and the reason being is because there's some error in that word. And understand this, that when you're speaking over people, you're speaking over people's lives. And as a prophet, your words carry weight. You see, so we can't use our words to damage people. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Even if the Lord will have you to call somebody out and say, look, baby, you're living in sin, God don't like it, But he loves you, and he wants you to get it right. Stuff like, understand this, that God is not going to have you to call something out, cut it up real bad, and then not bandage it back up. First of all, if God have you to call somebody out, then that means that they've been ignoring his warnings. And I know the prophetic, when you're walking in the prophetic, you know, sometimes, you know, God will have you do some strange stuff that's uncomfortable to you. Amen. But everything should be fueled by the love of God. God's love should be the fuel behind our gift. Hallelujah. Prophets are responsible for the words that they speak. And a lot of prophets are going to have to, a lot of prophets are being held accountable in this hour for the bad seeds that they have sown also. And God is going to require them because of their ministry gift and the responsibility that comes with their ministry gift. God is going to require a lot of prophets to give an account to the people for the things that they have spoken that have not been God. Amen. That's why every prophet ought to be processed before they're sent out. That's why every prophet ought to be trained and equipped in their spiritual gifts before they're sent out. Just because somebody, you know, has an encounter with the Lord, hears from the Lord, amen, they still need to be equipped in their gifting. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get into that a little later on. Praise God. Praise God. So whenever God corrects, his intention is always to restore. Check this out. See, the reason why the prophetic ministry has to be purified, because it's well needed. It is well needed. God ordained it in the church. Amen. And regardless of whether somebody abuses the gift or not, we must understand that, you know, God is still going to raise up prophets. Hallelujah. I want to turn to something real quick. I'm going to turn to Proverbs. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Proverbs 29 while I open right up to it. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm reading from my this particular passage from my Complete Jewish Bible. It says, without a prophetic vision, the people throw off all restraints, but he who keeps the law is happy. And the King James Bible says, without a vision, people perish, right? The people perish. But he who keeps the law is happy. Check this out. Or blessed. The word happy means blessed. Amen. I looked up that word vision. That word vision means, like the Jewish Bible say, prophetic vision. It means revelation, message from God, with a possible focus on the visual aspects of a message. So in other words, a prophetic utterance. So without the prophetic ministry, the people perish. Amen. But not only that, I looked up the word perish. And the Jewish Bible just said it. But I want to look up what I looked up in the concordance for the word perish. It means to be out of control. It means to run wild. It means to neglect, to promote wickedness, and it means uncover or naked. So without the prophetic ministry, so what is this saying? Without the legitimate prophetic ministry, amen, the people are neglected, they're out of control, they run wild, wickedness is promoted, and they're not covered. See, because the prophetic anointing, the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church, so the prophetic anointing also deals with the covering of a ministry. Amen. Every apostle, like Apostle Hill said, every apostle is a prophet. You know, however, there should be some seasoned prophets also in every ministry to help assist in oversight and covering. They may not be the senior leader, but they assist in oversight and covering. Amen. So without the prophetic ministry, amen, that leaves the people open and vulnerable to a lot of things. But if the prophetic ministry is going wild, then what's going to happen to the people? Hallelujah. That's why every prophet must be proven in their prophetic ministry. They must be proven in their character. If you go to Matthew 7, check this out. Matthew 7. I'm going to go here. Matthew 7, starting at verse 15, it says, but beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. He didn't say gifts. He didn't say you're going to know a false prophet by how they can prophesy or how well they can articulate the word, you know, or, you know, how much they can call out your bank account and your ATM card number. Amen. It didn't say you'll know a false prophet by it. It said you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. What are they producing? It's talking about their character. Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. So you'll know a false prophet by their character, not their gifts. But we get so caught up in gifts and the fact that folks can prophesy when we need to be praying about the fruit of their lives. Amen. You know, I don't understand pastors and fivefold ministry leaders, amen, that have been married by like four or five times, and you are still while you was in ministry. Amen. That's right, Apostle Turner. Gifts and calls are without repentance. See, we get so caught up in folks' gifts, but look at the personal lifestyle. Amen. Some folks sit under pastors and they've been married four or five times. And I'm like, you know, hey, why would I sit under you if you've been married four or five times? You know, that's something in that pastor's life, you know, that needs to be lined up with the Word of God. It's not lined up, you know, because if you've been married four or five times, first of all, the Bible says, you know, if you divorce, accept that for fornication. If you marry again, you commit adultery. See, we don't want to go there. Nobody talks about that, because then that means that a lot of pastors and apostles and prophets will have to sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. So your character must be tested. It says every good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So whatever fruit that you have, it's going to show in your personal life, your fruit. Amen. If you're bearing good fruit, it's going to show in your personal life. Because before you are an apostle or a prophet or whoever, you are a husband and a wife. Amen. Because the Bible specifically says that a leader cannot run the household of God if their household is not in order. If your children are unruly, your children are unruly, you have no control in your own household, you know, you can't run the household of God like that. You know, and I believe God will have more respect for you if you put somebody else in your position temporarily until you are able to get your house in order. I'm not just talking about, you know, a once in a while, you know, altercation with your child or your wife or whatever. Everybody has disagreements from time to time, but I'm talking about if your house is in just total chaos, your wife's about to leave you, your child cussing you out, you know, your child running the streets doing whatever, you need to take care of that first before you try to pastor. Amen. Especially if your child is underage living in your roof. Amen. If they're grown, they do what they want to do, but when they live under your roof, you need to handle that. Amen. I know I struck a nerve right there, but I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel a little teaching anointing coming on me. Also, prophets must have their own personal encounter with God. Amen. You can't say that you are a prophet if you have not encountered in some way, some form or fashion, you have not encountered God. Everybody's encountered differently. Some people say that they've seen angels in these big visions. Amen. I didn't see all that. Praise God. But I encountered God, and it transformed my life, and it caused me to be the person that I am now. Amen. I encountered the presence of God, the power of God touched me. Amen. And the Lord spoke to me. Amen. See, we don't get into that kind of stuff no more. You know, a lot of people, they have a gift, but they have not had an encounter with God. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Every prophet in the Bible had an encounter with God. They heard God speak. Amen. They didn't get a feeling, amen. They had a confirmation to that feeling. God, and understand this. I'm gonna get into something real deep in a second. I'm gonna get into something very deep in a second. Amen. Check this out. I'm gonna go to Isaiah 6 real quick. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I pray I'm helping somebody today. Amen. We gonna get this thing together. God's gonna do something very powerful. Hallelujah. Now, check this out. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. His train filled the temple. You saw the Lord's train filling the temple. I'm pretty sure he was somewhere by the temple when the Lord's train was filling the temple and the glory filled the temple. Amen. Above it stood seraphims, each one having six wings, with twain covered his face. Amen. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And he cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled. Hallelujah. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And of the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. My God, this Jesus. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King of glory. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, and I feel the Holy Ghost, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. My God, Jesus. See, first of all, you can only have an encounter with God when you spend time with God, time in the presence of God. And your encounter with God should not be a one-time thing, amen, but it should be an ongoing thing. Hallelujah. Amen. The more prophets spend time in the presence of God, the more purged and cleansed they become. Let me say that again. Prophets should be people that spend time in the presence of the Lord. I don't understand prophets who don't have strong prayer life. Your prayer life should be the strongest one out of the whole fivefold ministry, your prayer life. Amen. Because you are the mouthpiece of God. Nothing comes unless the Lord gives it to you and you declare it. Come on now. So your prayer life as a prophet should be the most strongest prayer life. And you ought to stay saturated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. When Isaiah saw the Lord, I'm pretty sure, amen, that in his heart he was seeking God some way, somehow. Amen. Because the Bible says that if you seek me, you will find me. Amen. And there's some folks that need to start seeking God more than what they're doing. There's some folks that need to start praying more than what they're doing. Some folks need to start spending time in the presence of the Lord a little longer than they do. Amen. Sometimes we just go and we just lay our burdens down at the altar, and we get right back up, amen, and we don't wait and listen to what the Lord has to say. Sometimes we need to just come into his presence and just be quiet, amen. Sometimes, you know, when I get before the Lord, amen, sometimes he beats me talking, amen. He just start talking to me. You know, that's the kind of relationship, you know, that God is requiring in this hour, amen, that we don't just do all the talking and that we don't just try to get stuff out of God, but we need to ask God, Lord, what is it that you want from me? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to say? You see, but we, you know, some of us have to break out of, you know, that selfish I'm thinking. Amen. Amen. A prophet should be people of the presence. Amen. You ought to have supernatural encounters with the presence of God on a regular. Amen. I ain't saying you got to see angels and you got to see all that. Amen. But you ought to know what the presence of God feels like. Amen. Isaiah had a supernatural encounter with God that totally changed his whole everything. And when he encountered God through him seeking God, he realized that he realized his sinfulness. He realized, you know, that he don't necessarily say the correct things all the time. Amen. And the Lord and the angel came and put the coal upon his lips, purged his lips, come on now, and said, your iniquity is taken away from you. The more time you spend in the presence of God, the more he removes from you that he don't like about you. Amen. So that you can become, amen, who he has predestined you to be. But if you don't spend no time in the presence of God, then folks will always be seeing stuff and feeling flesh and stuff off of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Prophets got to have a strong prayer life. Amen. And then, check this out. When he encountered God, then he said, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but ye perceive not. You see, my God, after his encounter with God, after him encountering God, amen, then eventually he began to step in his ministry. Hallelujah. And I know it may be hard to believe, but there's actually some out there, amen, that really have not encountered God in the way that they should have, amen, but they still going out and preaching. And I started preaching, you know, when I was, you know, 12 years old and I was in the Baptist church, all I knew was I had a call, amen. You know, but my prayer life wasn't what it should have been. You know, nobody taught me all this stuff. Amen. I just knew I had a call. And then I ended up falling. Amen. Because I didn't have nothing to keep me. Hallelujah. But I bless God for where I am now because I can truly say that I've encountered the Lord. Amen. And everybody's encounter is different. Amen. But we ought to be people of his presence. I'll tell you something. You know, as an intercessor and as a prophet, the presence of God is going to be one of the most important things to you. It's going to be your best friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless God today. Amen. My Jesus. When you have truly encountered God on a regular basis, it's impossible to remain the same. Amen. You first receive your calling and your commissioning in the presence of the Lord. Say that again. You first receive your calling and your commissioning in the presence of the Lord. Because remember, Isaiah, the Lord said, who shall I send? Isaiah said, here I am. Then he said, go tell the people. Even though they ain't going to listen, I want you to go tell them. Amen. I don't know about nobody else, but I love the presence of God. I am like a junkie for the presence of God here. I truly am. My friends, my close friends that are around me most of the time, they will tell you, I love the presence of God. I will spend half the day praying in the Holy Ghost sometimes. I love the presence of God. I love God here, you know, because of my call, you know, I know that the presence of God is very vital. It's very vital. Amen. It's very vital. Amen. And we should spend time in the presence of God because the presence of God also purifies us. Amen. We stay saturated and purified and covered in the presence of God. Amen. Every prophet should have a time every day where they just spend just nothing but time in the presence of God. You know, especially, you know, if you want to fulfill your mandate and your assignment that God has given you. It's very important that you spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. My God. Check this out. Amen. Let me just give some more biblical examples on that, because everybody encounters God in similar ways. Amen. You may encounter God in a dream or a vision, or the Lord may speak to you. Amen. Like me, the Lord spoke to me. Amen. And I'm also going to this scripture here is going to lead me to something else too, the next thing that I really want to get into. Amen. I'm not trying not to be before you long. It says the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests. Jeremiah was the son of a priest that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Amen. It's very important. You know, it says that basically it's saying that he was the son of a priest, right? Now, the priests were the ones that worked in the tabernacle. And if you read about the Levites, you know, even in the days of Moses, how some of them be working, amen, the Levites and the priests, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I'm going to tell you something. The Levites and the priests, they worked under the glory. They slept under the glory. They were constantly around the glory 24/7. They were constantly around the presence of God 24/7. Amen. So when Jeremiah we're going to talk about Samuel later on. Samuel slept by the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. It's very important that, you know, when we are going forth as prophets, that we spend time in the presence of God. Amen. Jeremiah, I'm pretty sure that he grew up around the presence of the Lord. Amen. He grew up around there. Hallelujah. And you go down, it says, and it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, and the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, that's deep. Amen. That's another second. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You are who you are before you're born. Amen. So whoever you're born to be, that's who you're born to be. Amen. Just like Isaiah was born a prophet. Amen. But he received his commissioning, amen, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You was already ordained from the womb to be a prophet. Amen. Let's go to Ezekiel 1. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 1. Mm-mm. Ezekiel 1:3. It says, and the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Amen. It goes to show that he was a priest. Amen. He was by the glory. He was always by the presence of God. He was always there where the presence of God was. The presence of God is important to every prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Which brings me to my next thing. And a prophet, we're talking about a prophet being proven now. Because a lot of times, you know, when we go forth, you know, or when we see other prophets, amen, a lot of prophets have been proven and a lot have not. And you can pretty much tell who have and who have not. Amen. And we can be proven in one area and not be proven in the other. That means that we went ahead of God before our time. And that's a dangerous thing, too. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about service for a second. Amen. Because, you know, every prophet that became a prophet didn't just become one overnight. Amen. They didn't become one overnight. And you can never become anything or anybody in ministry overnight. Amen. You have to be tested. You have to be proven. You have to know what it's like to suffer. Don't nobody like that word, suffer. And sacrifice for the things of God that other people may be delivered and saved. Hallelujah. And we're going to deal a lot with Samuel and Elijah for a second. 1 Samuel 3:1-3, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Hallelujah. "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down asleep." Samuel laid by the ark. Amen. And check this out. I want to say something. It says that Samuel, in verse 1, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Remember that. Before Eli. Okay. And I'm going to go to 1 Kings real quick. I'm going somewhere with this. 1 Kings. I'm going to go to 1 Kings 19. I'm going to start at verse 19. And it says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And when he was the 12th, in Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again for what I have done to thee.' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Amen. We're gonna deal with something real quick. We're going to deal with something very heavy. Now, I want to go back to something real quick. And I'm going to refer to those scriptures in a second. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2, then I'm going to go to verse 11. And it says, "And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli, the priest." It said, "The child ministered unto the Lord before Eli, the priest." Now, you look up that word minister, it means to attend, to serve, to wait before. The word before means at the face of or under the supervision of. Amen. So before God fully ordains, and the word ordained means to appoint. Before God fully ordains and release a prophet, that prophet must first be tested in the area of servanthood. Amen. You must know what it's like to serve another man's vision. Hallelujah. Amen. folks want to go and travel and do all that stuff, and that's fine. You know, as long as you are properly covered and you have the approval of your spiritual accountability. Amen. And a lot of times folks don't want to have no accountability. Amen. Bless God. You must be tested in the area of servanthood. You can't be in authority until you first know what it's like to be submitted to authority under close supervision. Amen. Especially your prophet, you got to be under close supervision. Okay, let me give you an example. If a manager, before a manager is fully released, right, to run the store, they first have to know how all the other departments are ran. Amen. And most people who are managers work their way up. The only way they can come in as a manager is they have previous experience at another job that they work their way up from. Hallelujah. So you must start from the bottom to the top. I don't care if you prophet to the nations. I don't care if you've been prophesied every nation or every continent on the face of the earth that you're going to go and establish ministries and prophesy to. And, you know, I don't care if you grow arms, legs, toes, eyeballs, hair, and teeth back. Amen. You must first know what it's like to serve. Amen. Every prophet, just about, in the Bible, even the apostles, they had to be in a position of servanthood before they was exalted. Amen. You can't run around and you have no spiritual accountability. You can't do it. I bless God. Amen. Let me give you some scripture examples real quick. Let me go to Mark, and I'm going through a lot of scriptures, because when you teach on stuff like this, you have to have scripture. Because folks will think you're lying. Amen. And I didn't go through all the stuff that God has brought me out of for me to lie to anybody, praise God. I bless God. Amen. Mark 3, verse 13, I'm going to read all the way through 15. And it says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained or appointed 12 that they should be with him." Underline that word in your Bibles, be with him. "And that he might send them forth to preach." So in order for them to go forth and preach, they first had to be with him. "And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils." The disciples had to be with him, talking about Jesus, before they were sent forth as apostles. Your spiritual authority lies in your submission to God's governing authority. Folks don't want to hear that. Folks don't want to hear that. They don't believe it. I'm going to tell you something. If you are not submitted to authority, prophets, if you're not submitted to spiritual authority, to governing authority, then your spiritual authority is false. You're walking in false spiritual authority. Amen. You have no business prophesying, trying to have crusades or nothing if you are not submitted to your leadership. Well, my leadership don't let me flow. If you feel like you're not growing, then you need to go submit somewhere you can grow. And in the process of you submitting, you need to submit your gift in your ministry too. Amen. You need to submit your calling. Amen. Your call ties in to the vision of the house until you are released into fulfill your own. Hallelujah. Amen. And let the church say amen. Hallelujah. See, they could not be the men of God that they were until they were properly sent out by their spiritual accountability. Amen. They could not become the apostles until they were first disciples. Amen. And the word disciple, you get the word discipline and discipleship. Amen. They had to become disciplined. They had to be taught. Jesus spent time teaching them about the kingdom. Amen. He spent time with them. Amen. They had hands-on ministry under the supervision of their spiritual accountability, which was Jesus. Even Jesus sent them out. Amen. They came back and reported. That's what accountability is. Don't nobody want to be accountable. They just want to go forth and do what they want to do and, you know, don't have to report back nothing. Don't have to. No, you can't do that. Amen. You can't do it. Hallelujah. Your spiritual authority lies in the fact that you are submitted to God's governing authority. Amen. If you're not submitted to the person that God has put you under, and understand this, you are not their prophet, you are God's prophet. However, if God sends you to a place, He knows what He's doing. Can I say that again? If God sends you to a place, if God truly sends you to a place, He knows what He's doing. Amen. You are God's prophet. Amen. And being that you're God's prophet, you have to submit to God's order. And if God says that you are to submit to a senior prophet or apostle, amen, because that's about the only a ministry gift that can really cover a prophet. Amen. Then that's what you do. Amen. And if it's truly God, and if it's the truly, if it's truly God ordained leadership, then God will let that leadership know when it's time. Hallelujah. For you to be released. Amen. I hope I'm helping some people today. Amen. I really do. Amen. Because we're gonna get this thing together. Check this out. I'm going to give you another scripture. You have to serve. You have to learn how to serve another man's vision before God release you into your own. I'm going to go to Acts 13. Acts 13, and I'm almost done. I know some of you are surprised at that, amen, because I can be a little long-winded, but I'm almost done. I'm halfway through. Acts 13, Lord of Marwin and John, Jesus. Okay, here we go. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon which was brought up with Herod the Treacherous, and Saul, as they ministered, amen, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, and this is a good scripture for ordination too, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they were released into their apostleship. Amen. They were released to their apostleship then. And So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, amen, they were sent by the Holy Ghost. Now, God just used other prophets and teachers as vessels to send them forth, but it was the Holy Ghost that did the sending because it was the Holy Ghost that spoke the word. So if you're under the right leadership, the Holy Ghost is going to let your leader know, amen, when it's time for you to begin your international a global ministry. Praise God. Departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyrus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So that means John served the vision that God had, served the vision and the ministry that God has placed, that God placed in the apostles. Amen. You see that word minister again. John served the anointing that was on the life of Paul and Barnabas. He served. Amen. I'm going to give you one more. Acts 16. It says, then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Now, you know, Timothy got a book, amen. Timothy turned out to be an apostle, not a pastor. He was an apostle, amen. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Check this out. Which was well reported of by the brethren. That means he had a good reputation. Amen. When you're in ministry or beginning in ministry, whether you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you have to have a good reputation. Amen. You really do. And of course, you're going to have folks that lie on you. You're going to have folks that, you know, say all kind of stuff because they don't agree with what you're doing. Amen. But your character, somebody should be able to vouch for your character. Amen. Jesus even had folks outside of the 12 that could vouch for his character. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So he was with him. He served under Paul until God told Paul it was time for him to be released. And you notice when the Lord released him, amen. Well, you know, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, got two books in the New Testament when the Lord released him. He instructed Timothy on how to set the churches in order. Hallelujah. So these are primary examples of how you must serve. And understand this, the anointing that you submit to is the anointing that will increase in your life. Paul was setting up all these churches and getting them in order, and then next thing you know, Timothy, being partaker of that anointing, was released into his own, amen. And Paul advised him, gave him advice on how to set up the pastors and the deacons in the church, amen, and how to handle when false doctrine is being presented to you. Amen. Timothy began to go forth and plant. Amen. Apostle Paul, he told Titus that the reason why that I left you in Crete was that you may set some things in order. The same anointing that was on Paul to set stuff in order, amen, the same apostleship type anointing was upon Timothy and was upon Titus. Why? Because they served under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So they became partakers of the same anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So what happens, right, when there is no spiritual accountability? What happens when there's no spiritual accountability in the life of the prophet? Check this out. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. I'm going to start at verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. Mm-hmm. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And at mine offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the cheapest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me will I lightly esteem. My God. Let me just stop reading right there for a second. So what happens when there's no spiritual accountability in the life of a prophet? And I know that this was talking about the priest, amen, but it can also be applied not just to the prophet, but to all areas of leadership. Amen. Well, there's no spiritual accountability, but the prophets go wild. Amen. When there's no spiritual accountability, the prophets go wild. A prophet came to Eli and prophesied to him concerning the conduct of his sons and the lack of oversight, come on, over their ministry and lives. Amen. When he heard, when Eli heard, you can study the scripture for yourself, when Eli heard, eventually heard about the things that his sons was doing, he told his sons, like, hey, you know, what you're doing ain't good. And when I read that scripture, I'm like, that's it? He's the chief priest. He's the high priest now. He could have sat him down. Come on now. He had the authority to sit him down. But, amen, he was satisfied with his position. Amen. And he liked the benefit of what he was receiving. Why do you think the Lord rebuked him so heavy? Amen. He mentioned it, but he did nothing about it. And he had the authority to do it. So the sons pretty much had no oversight whatsoever. That's why they were able to do what they do. Amen. Take the best part of the sacrifice that was due to the Lord for themselves, and then they were sleeping with the women. When there's no spiritual accountability, amen, the prophets begin to go, wow, I won't try to go here, but I have to. Amen. When there's no spiritual accountability, you find a lot of lust around the prophets. Amen. I'm talking about today, because whoever's over them can't see into their lives. Amen. Whoever's going to be over you must be able to see into your life. That's why every prophet needs apostles. Not just, also other prophets around them, but they need an apostle over them. Amen. Because you stand for everybody else, but somebody needs to see for you. Amen. Somebody needs to see for you. You know, because while you stand and prophesying for everybody else, sometimes you can be slipping. A lot of times you might not even realize it or know it until it's too late. That's why accountability is so important. Hallelujah. That's why accountability is so important. The prophets go wild when there's no accountability or oversight. Amen. When there is no spiritual accountability or lack of spiritual accountability, that leaves room for the enemy to come in on a prophet. Amen. And the reason why I'm not talking about any other fivefold ministry gifts tonight, because the Lord got me strictly dealing with the prophet. So I'm not saying that this don't apply to the evangelist, the apostle, or any other ministry gift. Amen. We're talking specifically about the prophet tonight. Amen. So a lot of things are able to come in on the prophet. Also now, spiritual parents. If you're a spiritual father or a spiritual mother in the spirit, spiritual parents, if you don't hold your sons and daughters accountable, God is going to hold you accountable for them. Let me say that again. If you don't hold your sons or your daughters accountable, come on now. If you don't hold them accountable, then God's going to get you. Amen. If you're not going in and inspecting their fruit, amen, being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother is not you giving your sons and your daughters books and tapes. Amen. Phone calls, visits, impartations. Amen. Come on now. You got to check on your spiritual children. You got to be able to discern them and pick them up in the spirit. I'm a living witness that when you cover a ministry, I'm a living witness of this. When you cover a ministry, my God, God will wake you up. Shatalabosi. The Lord will wake you up, man, if you have to, and start talking to you about your shit, your children in the spirit. He will wake you up, my God, and start talking to you. Because once you start operating in oversight over a ministry, that's a responsibility that you have. Your responsibility is to help that son or that daughter maintain and do what they're supposed to do to keep that ministry running. Advice, impartation. Look what the Apostle Paul did Timothy. Amen. Timothy served under his ministry. Then he released Timothy, gave him spiritual wisdom, laid hands on him, released him. Amen. That don't mean you go in there and dictate their vision and tell them, you know, I know you said the Lord gave you this, but here's what I hear the Lord. No, you don't come in and change what God has already gave them. However, you're supposed to help equip them. You're responsible for them. Amen. And if your son or your daughter is slipping, you ought to be the first one to know. Hallelujah. You ought to be the first one to know. What you think the epistles that Paul wrote was about? Amen. He heard some things and he felt some things. Amen. And he corrected what he heard and felt. Hallelujah. Spiritual accountability is important. And spiritual sons, I mean spiritual fathers and mothers, you are just as responsible. Hallelujah. To make sure that your spiritual sons or your spiritual daughters are totally lined up with the things of God. You find out your spiritual son or daughter sleeping around and you didn't pick it up first? You didn't warn them? You didn't pick it up first? Something is wrong. Hallelujah. You should have to wait for it to come on the news for you to find out. You should have been picked it up and addressed it. And if you had to do deliverance ministry all over again, then hey, then that's what you will have to do. You're responsible. You have a responsibility too. Amen. That's what real spiritual parents do. Hallelujah. I bless God today. And see, just like the sons are going wild, the parents are just being passive. I'm talking about the ones in the spirit. Hallelujah. You're accountable. You must check on their fruit. Now, we know that the prophet has to be tested. And after the prophet is tested and proven, this is going to bring me to my last thing, and I'm almost getting ready to close in a second. Amen. I'm going to get ready to close in a second. We're going to talk about the prophetic mantle for a second. Okay. What is the prophetic mantle? We hear about the prophetic mantle all the time. We hear the word mantle, and some folks don't know what it means. They say they got a mantle, and they don't know what a mantle is. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what a prophetic mantle is. First of all, this term mantle was used for the word cloak, right, which was worn by prophets. It was worn by kings, too. But we're talking about the prophet tonight. Amen. It was worn by prophets to designate their authority in their ministry, community, and also in the spirit. Hallelujah. Prophets like John the Baptist and Elijah, they were recognized by, you know, the mantles that they wore. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of, you know, their mantles or cloaks that they wore, a lot of times it was made out of animal skin, like camel hair was like the most common. Amen. It was like the most common. So really when you say that I have a mantle upon my life, if I have a prophetic mantle, that means that I have the authority of the prophet. See, you don't, just because you have the call of a prophet upon your life, that don't mean you automatically walk in the authority of that ministry just yet. Amen. Because when Elijah, remember, we read that scripture earlier where Elisha ministered to Elijah. And then when it was time for him to be released and commissioned, and once he received the double portion, then the mantle dropped upon him, then he was released into his ministry. Amen. Most prophets, I'm going to tell you, most prophets that, you know, that are just starting off, most of the time they operate in the revelation gifts. They, most of the time they operate in word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time they operate in that discerning spirits, even deliverance, healing, whatever. You see, but when it comes time for them to walk in the full ministry of the prophet, then that mantle comes upon them. Then they have the authority of that ministry gift. Amen. I try to break out of saying office. Amen. Prophet, the ministry of the prophet is not an office. It's a ministry gift. So many times we call it office. It's office, you know, we got that habit because an office, you can vote folks out and vote them back into an office. Amen. The presidency is an office. Amen. We can vote Barack Obama out and vote him in. Amen, but you can even impeach him if you do something wrong. But a ministry gift, amen, that's something that comes from God. The Ephesians 4, if you read it, it says that he gave gifts to man. He gave some to be apostles. So we are gifts to the body. Amen, we are for the body. The body's not, amen, I mean, that's a whole nother teaching. Praise God. But when you have the mantle of the prophet, then that means that you have the full authority of the prophet. Amen. You have the full authority. You have been tested. You have been proven, amen, in your giftings, in your servanthood, because God is not going to give a mantle to somebody who can't serve. Amen. Jesus washed feet, and he had a very powerful anointing on his life. Amen. So if Jesus washed feet and he the Lord and Savior, Messiah, and everything else, amen, then we ought to know how to serve. Amen. A prophet who can't serve is a prophet with no anointing. I don't care how gifted you are. See, because just because you're gifted don't mean you're anointed. You can have giftings. Amen. A psychic is gifted. Amen. A psychic can tell you something and it come to pass, too. Sure can. So that's why the Bible says you know a false prophet by their fruit, not their gift. Amen. We get too caught up in gifts. But you first must be tested. Your character must be tested. Amen. Your servanthood must be tested. Praise God. Your prayer life, your experience with God, all that must be tested. Amen. And then, you know, a lot of times, too, there's a lot of prophets, and, you know, understand this, you know, I'm not bashing or nothing like that. You know, I'm trying to help many folks, you know, as I can, you know. And, you know, I don't want nobody to misunderstand what I'm saying. We have a lot of prophets out here, and it's evident. I'm sorry, I just got to say it, amen. Apostles contend for the faith, amen. We expose error, you know, and we also bring restoration, too. Praise God. But, you know, there's a lot of prophets out here that did not complete their process. Some of them have not been processed, period. Some of them are wounded and hurt, you know, with a gifting, you know, and then some of them have not completed their process. Some of them got off the potter's wheel too early. Amen. And then, you know, some, amen, out there that have been tested and proven, amen, and they got wounded, but the Lord is restoring them. So you have a whole lot of different variations there. However, you know, most of the time you see prophets who have got off the potter's wheel too fast. Amen. They start thinking that people trying to hold them back. First of all, you can't be held back if you're under the right leadership, because the leader is going to see past your gift, and he's going to see your heart. Amen. Going to see your heart to want to do the will of God, and also going to see your heart, also going to see what's in your heart that ain't of God. Amen. God is challenging these apostles and these senior prophets and, you know, these ministry leaders, you know, these people who have sons and daughters and people who have a claim to be spiritual fathers of many and spiritual mothers of many. The Lord is holding you accountable for your children. Amen. Holding you accountable. I mean, understand that every man will answer for himself. Yeah, but if the Lord has also given you oversight, there's no reason why you shouldn't have insight if you have oversight. Hallelujah. I like that. I'm going to use that. There's no reason why you should have, you should not have oversight, insight when you have oversight. Amen. I see Alice's question. It says, what happens when the leader, apostle, does not follow through with checking on his or her sons and daughters? Well, that son or that daughter, they're going to be held accountable for their actions. But that leader is going to be held accountable, too, for not putting them in check. Amen. For not helping them. Because understand this. If the Lord puts you over somebody, that means that they got something that you don't. They have wisdom that you don't have yet. So the Lord give you oversight, then that means that in order for that person to get to the next level, amen, the Lord is always going to place it in you what they need. Hallelujah. Even if they push you to be further and far more greater than them, amen, they're always going to need to come back for wisdom and guidance. Amen. The apostles did greater works than what Jesus did. They went and traveled places that he didn't. Amen. Peter shadow healed folks. You didn't see that from Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus specifically said, greater works, the works that I do, you will do and greater. Amen. So they did greater works, but they still had to lean and depend on Jesus. They had to depend on Jesus for wisdom, guidance, and counsel. Amen. Timothy, I'm pretty sure the Bible don't say too much about, you know, Timothy after the books, but I'm pretty sure Timothy planted more churches and did a whole lot more work than what the Apostle Paul did. However, he still held fast to the wisdom that Paul gave him. So leaders are held accountable for giving their spiritual sons and daughters what God gave them. But that son, knowing right from wrong, if they fall into sin, they're going to be held accountable. But a lot of things, too, now, that the sons and daughters, a lot of things that the spiritual fathers and mothers can prevent their sons and daughters from falling into because of the wisdom and knowledge that God gave them. So God looks at all that. He judges everything. Amen. All right, God bless you, Apostle Turner. Thank you for tuning in. Apostle Turner said he had to leave. But God bless you, man of God. Amen, y'all. I'm almost done. So the mantle, back to the mantle now. Praise God, because I see a couple of you all on the line. Amen. The mantle of the prophet, praise God, it symbolizes your authority. My God, it symbolizes your authority once again in the spirit. See, our mantle is spirit. You see what I'm saying? We have a spiritual mantle. Those who walk in actually in the ministry of the prophet, if you see them in the realm of the spirit, if God open your eyes, you will see some type of cloaking on them. There's a such thing as spiritual clothing in the spirit. Amen. Let's take our religious caps off today. Amen. Let's take our religious caps off, amen, because the spiritual realm is more real than the natural. and understand that the natural a lot of times reflects within the spirit. Amen. So the certain things that we have the idea of creating in the natural than where you think it came from. Hallelujah. I bless God. Hallelujah. Check this out. Now, just because, and I want to say this, just because you have the call doesn't mean you have the mantle yet. Like I said, you have to be tried and proven. Goes back to what I first started saying. Just because you have the call don't mean you have the mantle. Okay. So you got some folks that's going because they know that they have the call, but they don't have the mantle yet. They have not been properly equipped. Man, there's some good stuff here. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the thing is, in order to be fully effective in your ministry, you need a mantle from God. If you're an evangelist, in order for you to be an effective evangelist, you need the mantle for evangelism, not just the anointing, the mantle. Understand this between a gifting and a mantle, like the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy has limitations. It's limited limitations to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what the Bible says about the gift of prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. But you notice prophets, you know, we can go beyond that. Amen. The Lord has used prophets to speak judgment, to bring decrees, correction, rebuke. A person who's operating in the gift of prophecy will never do that. If a person operates in that and they are not walking in the ministry of the prophet, they're out of order. They're operating outside of their grace. Amen. Folks on the intercessory prayer team, you do not have the authority to rebuke. Amen. Amen. Even if the Lord shows you something bad about the pastor, that is not your place to rebuke the pastor. Amen. Now, a prophet, if the Lord gives the word a prophet of rebuke for that apostle or that pastor, being that they're God's prophets, the Lord can send that prophet to that senior leader. You've seen it so many times in the Bible. Understand that when they go to the senior leader, they have respect for him now. They didn't disrespect the authority, but they walked in the authority that God gave them. Amen. So a lot of times when prophets go to leaders, a lot of times they're not received because, you know, in the midst of their rebuke, they disrespect the authority of the other leader. You know, you can't do that. Amen. Because even though God sent you to that leader, you still submitted to that leader's authority. Amen. You still submitted to their authority. Amen. But you're not their prophet. You're God's prophet. Amen. Even when Nathan was firm with David, but he didn't talk crazy to him either. Amen. Because he knew David could have his head cut off. And so I heard somebody say, too, that the Lord gave Nathan the word, but Nathan waited a whole year before he released the word. Hallelujah. My Jesus. My Lord. Hallelujah. So understand this, y'all. The mantle comes when you have been fully proven, when you have been proven in your service. Amen. The mantle comes, and with the mantle comes the authority of that ministry, gift. Hallelujah. Am I helping somebody today? The mantle signifies that you are now qualified to walk in the prophetic ministry. Before the mantle, you're basically a prophet in training. Amen. Even though you're recognized as prophet so-and-so, you're really being trained and equipped for your ministry. Because when you receive that mantle, you are certified by God, not man, by God, to fully walk in, walk in the fullness of the ministry of the prophet. That means that God, my God, he'll lay so much stuff on you, amen, some stuff you got to speak. I'm going to tell you something. It's a suffering being a prophet. Yeah? It's a suffering. Now, the suffering is worthwhile. Amen. I ain't saying that your whole life is going to be suffering and miserable. No. But you got to sacrifice some things for God. Amen. And so many times people don't want to sacrifice. Hallelujah. But I pray that I help somebody today. Amen. I know that the lines are not normally full as it normally be, but I believe that everybody that was on the line tonight was supposed to be on the line. I believe that everybody that was on the line tonight was supposed to be on the line. Amen. And I believe that most of you all that's on this line have a call to prophetic ministry as well. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Minister 08. God bless you. You just joined in. Amen. You just missed a powerful teaching, but you can always go back once the call is ended and once the recording is uploaded. We just talked about the ministry and the mantle of the prophet. The ministry and the mantle of the prophet, and it's very vital that we know what prophetic ministry is. Prophets are second in line in the ministry, right? The apostle is first, the prophet is second. They are the foundation of the house of God. Every house, every ministry should be built upon the apostles and the prophets. If you don't have no other official in the church first, you ought to have an apostle and a prophet there. Amen. Amen. And most ministries that start off with husband and wife, most of the time it'll be that apostle or prophet, that apostle and the prophetic coming together to help establish that ministry. Amen. Even though a lot of them be pastors and first ladies, praise God, but that ain't scriptural. But that's another teach, y'all. That when I start teaching on the apostolic ministry next, praise God, I'm going to really dig into that. Amen. But if the Lord permits, I might get on teaching the different kinds of prophets. Amen. There's so many different kinds of prophets. You have all kind of prophets in the Bible. You have priestly prophets. You have prophets that are in you have prophets that are anointed in minstrels also. You know, that just sounds like something that'll be very, very interesting to talk about. Amen. You have prophetic intercessors. You know, you have prophets, you know, and their mantles are merged with the intercessory anointing, and you know that begins to be off the chain. You know, and you know it's just a lot, and I might, you know, teach on that. You know, if the Lord permits. You know, I feel that it's time to get into apostolic ministry very soon. You know, but it's always good to teach on the prophetic before you get into the apostolic ministry.
Hello?
Yes.
I have a question for you. This is about the prophetic, about your teaching. I just joined in. This is Minister 08.
Okay.
How do you know? I'm just struggling with my prophetic gift. I mean, I know I do have the prophetic mantle. But with me, I've just been struggling knowing when I hear the voice of God and knowing when it's my flesh.
Well, I'm going to tell you what helped me. And this is what I taught on earlier today. And like I said, you might want to go back and listen, too. When you're in the presence of God and when you spend a lot of time in the presence of God, I'm going to tell you something. You know, all that becomes less and less and less. I mentioned this earlier. When you are a prophet, the presence of God will become your best friend. Because even if it's something that the enemy's trying to do with you, there is a purging that comes in the presence of the Lord. When Isaiah 6, when he saw the presence of the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and the angels took the coal from off the altar and purged his lips and said his iniquity was removed from him. You see, and then the Lord said, who shall I send? And he said, Lord, send me. when you spend more time in the presence of the Lord, you don't have to worry about that. You know, and the thing about it is, too, as a prophet, I believe most prophets have struggled with that before. You know, knowing when it's God and when it's your flesh. And a lot of things that the Lord gives us anyway will not be received a lot of times. A lot of stuff that God gives us goes against the grain a lot of times. It goes against the grain.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And, you know, the thing about it is, first of all, you have to know who you are. If God's truly said that you have a prophetic call upon your life, then you got to know that God speaks to you. See, the thing about it is, you have to have confidence in your call, the Lord is telling you. You have to have confidence in your call, that you are who God said you are. Now, you know, most prophets need a good foundation in the Word of God, because God will never have you to go against his Word. Now, as a prophet, you know, a lot of times God will send you to leadership, but never to assert the authority of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a prophet, you do have the authority to go to your leader, whether they receive it or not, and say, look, this is what the Lord is saying. Now, if the Lord tell you to go tell him, go tell him. You see, if the Lord tells you to be still. A lot of times God will show us stuff ahead of time, and then he don't want to speak it until months later. You see what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things that God tells you, but it goes against a lot of stuff that people are saying, if you catch my drift.
Well, with me, I hear more in my dreams. Like, my dreams come to pass. I'm more confident in the dreams I see, because I've noticed that they do come to pass.
Yeah.
But it's just when I'm awake, you know, I see things, and then I don't, you know what I'm saying.
I totally understand. I totally understand. As a prophet, God will speak to you more than one way. Now, dreams might be a major way that he speaks to you in. But God speaks in all kind of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks through dreams, visions. He speaks audibly. He speaks stuff in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Sometimes God be a lot of times you can be asking God a question, something like that, be wondering about stuff, and then you riding down the road, then you switch lanes, and next thing you know, right in front of you is an answer to your question.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody bumper sticker, or somebody's a license plate tag, or something like that. God speaks in so many different ways.
Mm.
You see, and the thing about it is, you know, we have to pray and ask God to help us to know when he's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your leadership? Who are you under?
Well, here's the thing, God just. Well, I was in the church for a while because God told me to leave, but now he's telling me to leave completely. He wants me to do outreach ministry,
mm-hmm.
and this is very difficult for me to receive because, you know, Lord told me through another prophet that if I stay at this church, that havoc is going to break out because God has been calling me, and he has,
yeah.
to go out in the world, and I'm just like, Lord, I don't have nobody, and I know my pastor's not going to receive it. I just know he
mm-hmm.
isn't, because I know I have a feeling he's gonna say God didn't tell you that, or I don't believe God would do that. But he's calling me to do outreach ministry, and I did step out on faith this week, and I did go get some cards made, and I did, you know, went to get my communion. You know, I ordered everything to go out to do outreach ministry,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, Lord, but where do I go? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I just gotta start walking in the street. I mean, I have tracks and everything. I went and got tracks because, you know, I know the Lord had told me if I didn't do what he told me to do, he's gonna take me out of here. I've been struggling with this.
Yeah, buddy. Mm-mm.
So I just went radical because this woman of God didn't know me, and I heard this last year. So now I really went radical this week. I went online to Christian bookstore. I ordered the communion. I ordered a whole bunch of tracts because God told me to use my tithe money to do it. He told me not to give any money to the church. He wants me to use my tithe for this outreach ministry that I'm getting ready
mm-hmm.
to do. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do, and I'm really, really scared, and I'm really stepping out on faith. I mean, Sunday morning, I'm literally going to get up and just start
mm-hmm.
going. I don't even know where I'm going, but it's like I know God spoke to me, and I know I have to do because he said the blood will be required at my hand. So it's just very scary for me because I'm not, I don't have nobody to fall back on, and I got to get out there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very scary for me.
Well,
you know, but I stepped out on faith, and I did what he told me to do. I bought everything I needed, bought a whole bunch of tracks. And you know what? It's such a miracle because I ordered the tracks on Thursday, Prophet, and they came today.
Wow.
So I'm like, I've never seen, from Massachusetts. Now, I ordered them Thursday from Massachusetts, and they got to, and that was just regular mail, and they came today. So I'm like, I've never seen things. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you really serious. You know, I just have to think, like God saying, I really want you to get going with this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, from Massachusetts to come to New Jersey. I live in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I order a package in the middle of the day, regular mail, no express, and the whole box stuff came today.
Wow.
So with my communion and my tracks, I ordered a whole bunch of tracks. I ordered, you know, cars. And I'm like, Lord, you know, it's just, it's scary. And I know God's trying to pull me out of my comfort zone, and he wants me to go. And I just don't know what to do, but I know that I have to do something.
Yeah. Let me say this, too. That definitely bears witness with my spirit, first of all, what you said. And see, one thing, too, I want to explain this, too, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling in my spirit, too. A lot of times, see, when you're a prophet, God deals with you very differently. A lot of people don't realize that. God will deal with you so differently. You know, and the first thing folks say is, you're not going to nobody's church, that ain't God. You know, all that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? And I'm an apostle, and, you know, I've been back in my home state for about a month yet. I didn't start the ministry yet. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have an apostle that covers me, Apostle Hill. He covers me. He's my spiritual accountability. He's my cover. You see what I'm saying? So I am well covered. And there's certain things that, you know, I didn't even receive until I was properly covered. You know, and, you know, so I'm pretty much in a similar place. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times I go out and do street ministry too. And the Lord told me that the ministry is not even going to begin to start until next year.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm doing that, he told me to be faithful over this talk shoot, you know, until, you know, it's time to begin the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it is, you be faithful in what God has given you to do, despite what anybody says. And another thing, too, I would advise you to do, and I really feel this, one thing about it is, God would never have us to be totally alone. You see what I'm saying? He will never have us to be totally alone. You need to pray and ask God who do he want to cover you while you out doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because accountability is important. I taught on that, and I put a big emphasis on that earlier. I wish you could have listened earlier. But a lot of times, not a lot of times, all the time, it's good that we be covered.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and whoever's over you don't mean that they come and, dictate to you your vision. Whatever God gave you, he gave you.
Mm-hmm.
But they pretty much serve as oversight. People to come and they cover you, you know, help inspect your fruit sometimes, stuff like that. Spiritual accountability is important because we read in the Bible where people don't have accountability; they just run wild and crazy, you know, and say that it's God. So, the only thing that you would need to do now is pray about who your spiritual accountability is, who's going to cover you and your ministry as you go forth and do what God called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's very important that we be accountable, and when you're accountable to somebody, you know, you pretty much, you know, are submitted to their covering, the covering aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's just like the Apostle Paul and Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy ran his own ministry now, Timothy ran it, but the Apostle Paul not only covered him in prayer, but he advised him in certain things. He instructed him in certain things. Like, look, when you start raising up leaders, you know, this is what you need to do. You know, like that. You know, you encountering a lot of false doctrine over there. You know, so this is what I would advise you to do. But he's not there physically himself, standing over him, taskmastering him, saying, look, you do what I say when I say do. That's not the kind of accountability I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's able to help push you, you see what I'm saying, and to what God has called you to do.
Praise God.
Yeah, so that'll be the only thing that you need to pray about.
Amen.
Yeah, and New Jersey, where you say you had New Jersey?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and the reason why, you know, God is having you to, and it's not by coincidence that you're on this line tonight, too, because, you know, all the ministries up there in New Jersey, you know, the ones that's close by you, they can't cover you. They cannot cover you. That's why God ain't having you to go to none of them. You have to set a lot of stuff in order in New Jersey. I don't know exactly too much about New Jersey, but it's like an oppressed type spirit over there.
Mess.
That's
a lot
I'm picking
of mess.
Up.
Yeah,
the,
you're
the
right.
The Lord is showing me that. So told about there's an oppressed type spirit over there, and I even pick up some what's that word, Lord? The government officials of their state, they're not doing right by the people.
Mm-mm.
The Lord is showing me.
Mm-mm.
And the churches have gotten, my God, the churches have gotten lax.
Yes.
Over there, they've gotten to a place of complacency. Mm-hmm. You know, they just put up with it. You know, they satisfied with what they have. And they just go ahead on and just continue to have church and no kingdom or nothing is being established.
You got that right.
You are called to establish the kingdom in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go forth, the Lord is going to add to you. But be discerning, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, because some folks come in as wolves in sheep's clothing to try to destroy what God is having you to do before it even gets off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, shatolobo kod rababasia. Mm-hmm. Hey, shabandiosia. Jeez, I felt that. He said, beware of that, him.
Yeah. Yes.
And you do what God called you to do. You spend time. I'm telling you, you spend time. The Lord is going to give you directions, and whoever he have to cover you in your ministry, the Lord is going to give them things for you as well. Amen. And, you know, the Lord is just going to do a very powerful thing. He's going to do a very powerful work. And as you go forth in obedience, yeah, everything will be added to you.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
oh, Lord Jesus.
And, I see a, Jesus. I see a book you're writing too.
Yes. That's confirmation.
I see a book that you're writing. Matter of fact, you're the second person I had you prophesy this to, to prophesy this to. But I see a book. I've seen you write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it deals with your supernatural encounters with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it that's going to be like the fuel behind your book.
Right.
Yeah. That's a very powerful book. That the Lord is going to have you to write.
Mm-hmm.
And, matter of fact, I see you writing several books. And you really have a heart for God.
Yeah, I do.
And you really have a heart for his people. And you just want to be in the will of God. And
yes,
you're not satisfied. And that, you're not satisfied, I hear the Holy Ghost say, you're not satisfied with what's going on. You're not complacent. You want to do something.
Yes.
And you feel the urgency in the spirit to do what God has called you to do. That's what you've been feeling. You've been feeling that urgency, and God put it on you like that. So so that you would get up and move. You feel the urgency in the spirit. And there is an urgency in the spirit because the people are dying.
Yes.
Especially in the region in which you're called, Orabashandalabosia, the region that you're called to.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the burden of the people in that region. That's why it's so heavy on your heart to reach out to them because you feel the burden.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bosha. Yeah. So, but the Lord is going to give you the empowerment, Arabosha. He's going to give you the equipment. The rest of the paperwork will line up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bosha. The rest of that paperwork won't line up. The Lord is going to give you everything that you need to do what he's called you to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everything. Everything. The Lord is going to send you some help. He's going to send you the right help. And my God, I'm going to pray for you. Father, what's your name?
Minister Angie.
Minister Angie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to call you Prophetess Angie. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm be honest with you, people that know me, and me and Prophet Damien was talking about this. I think it was yesterday or today. I don't believe in that ministry stuff. I really don't, because the Bible says it's a fivefold ministry, and when people call you minister, they're degrading and downgrading your call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe in that. You know, if you're a prophet, I'm gonna call you prophet. If you're a teacher, I'm gonna call you teacher.
Right.
If you're evangelist, I'm gonna call you just what God says you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not calling you nothing lower than that.
Praise God.
Nothing higher, nothing lower. I'm gonna call you just what God calls you.
Praise God.
So if you're an apostle, I'm gonna call you apostle.
Praise God.
Eight of both shot. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for Prophetess Angie, Father, because truly that's who you call her to be. Father, and I thank you, Father, that you've given her your heart. Because, Father, you said that every prophet, Father, should have your heart. And, Father, your heart hurts for your people. And, Father, she's feeling the burden of your heart for that region. And, Father, I thank you that everything financially is going to line up to its fullest capacity. I thank you for sending laborers. Father, I thank you for sending, Father, Shatalabo. More confirmation is coming to you, too, I hear the Holy Ghost say. Father, I bless her ministry right now. I bless it, Father, and I command increase 100-fold upon her ministry, Father, for her obedience, Father. And, Father, you said if we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, that everything that we need will be added to us, Father. So I thank you for adding to her in this season, Father, because I'm really feeling, Father, that, Father, it's really been quite challenging for her in a lot of things. Father, it's been quite challenging. But, Father, I thank you, Father, that you're planting her feet upon a rock even now. Father, you've given her a solid foundation. You've given her a foundation, Father, that she can truly stand on, Father. I thank you that she believes you, Father, despite what people say around her, Father. And, Father, I thank you for moving all the naysayers from around her, Father. I cancel every word, curse that's been spoken over her life, every negative word, shot telebosi, head telebo. I cancel every word from every pastor, every man, every woman, every pastor, every person in leadership that spoke negative in her spirit. I uproot it now. I cancel the word right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I speak life to her. I speak life to her ministry. And I command it to live to its fullest potential in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. It's been some folks that's really been against what you're doing.
Yes.
Horabasi.
Against me, yes.
Yeah, but the Lord wants you to go forth.
Mm-hmm.
Shake the dust from your feet. And I really see you spending a lot of time in prayer. The Lord's going to call you on a fast soon. He's going to speak to you about it. Lord's going to call you on a fast. And on this fast, the Lord is really going to revelate to you some things. This is going to be so much that you're going to have to write it down. Yeah, you're gonna have to write a lot of stuff down. And are you married?
No.
I see you being married. That's I felt that you wasn't married, but I see you being married.
That's my desire.
I felt that you're gonna meet. I felt the Holy Ghost so now. You're gonna meet your husband in this season. And he gonna have the same heart you. He gonna have the same heart you got.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good Lord, I felt the Holy Ghost on that one. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm fanning myself. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You should be feeling the same thing over there. My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You sitting on me.
Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
My Lord.
Thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and this season, mark my words, in this season, because this season, this new season has just begun.
Praise
now,
God.
When every season has a beginning and it has an end. Mm-hmm. When this season going to end, I don't know. But the Lord said, in this season, and sometimes seasons can last a month, they can last a year, they can last more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't giving you no specific time frame.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. The Lord ain't speaking no specific time frame. He just said, in this season.
Praise God.
This season that you're in, this new season that you're in now, you're gonna meet your husband, and I don't think it's gonna take y'all long to get married.
Praise God. Praise God.
You're gonna have the same heart that you have,
Thank you.
Y'all gonna have such a powerful ministry. Y'all gonna have a powerful ministry. Y'all gonna have a ministry together. I see y'all having a powerful ministry, not just any kind of ministry either. You know, because it's too many churches up now, too many powerless churches up now.
Mm-hmm.
But you all gonna have a ministry of power. I really see folks with amputations and their limbs growing back. I see it now in my vision, in the spirit.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Yeah, the Lord is giving y'all healing and deliverance ministry. And when you go forth to here, Father, I stir up the gift of faith in her, Father. Stir up that gift of faith, Father, and the working of miracles and the gifts of healing, Father. Jesus. Have you ever operated in that before?
Operated
in ministry of healing, deliverance, working of miracles?
Well, God do said that does say I have healing in the hands.
Yeah.
My father
had. Have you seen that done?
Yeah, I believe so, because my father had cancer in the lungs last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me to go and lay hands on the sick. So I said, Lord, if, you know, ministry begins at home, right?
Yeah.
I told the Lord, if my father comes out to surgery successful as a result of me praying and laying his, you know, laying hands and praying for him, that I know, you know, that he's working through me. And my father recovered from that surgery very well. And, you know, cancer mm-hmm. in the lung is very serious.
Yeah.
And God blessed him, and he came out, and he didn't have to take any chemo or anything like that. So I know God.
Amen.
So I experienced the miracle of
where you are, I just want you to lift your hands right now. The Lord's going to do something.
Hallelujah.
I want you to lift your hands right now.
Hallelujah.
Good Lord. Jesus.
Father God, you're worthy.
God. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you,
Father, I command the gift of healing, the gift of the working of miracles, the gifting of faith and word of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
word of wisdom and prophecy to be stirred up in her life right now. In the name of Jesus, every spiritual gift that has not been tapped into, I command that it be stirred up. In the mighty name of Jesus, stir it up in her spirit. Stir it up in her spirit, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Jesus. I see like fire in your belly, in your spirit.
Hallelujah.
I see fire. The Lord is going, I'm telling you, the Lord is going to spark a fire in you, and the wind of God is blowing, and it's going to fan that fire, and that fire will never go out here.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I command all those gifts to be stirred up that I just mentioned in your life. and to operate in its fullest capacity that it's supposed to operate in this season of your life. I command it to be so in Jesus' name. When you go forth, I'm telling you, when you go forth, you're going to see something. When you go forth and you start doing street ministry, whatever it is the Lord has you to do, lay your hands on the sick. If you run into a person and the Lord have you to minister to them, lay your hands on them. Pray with them.
Praise God.
If they don't want you to pray with them, hold their hand or something.
Praise God.
You're going to meet people with crutches and everything. Believe God here.
Amen.
Believe God. Believe God. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid, because you're going to run across some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run across some stuff. I see the Lord adding somebody else to you. I don't know quite who it is, but I see the Lord adding somebody to you real soon.
Praise God.
Soon, because that scripture just came to me where he set them out two by two. The Lord's going to add somebody to you. Yeah, they're two by two.
Praise God.
The Lord's going to add that to you. But when you see somebody that's sick and the Lord really lays that burden on your heart,
mm-hmm.
you go and you pray for them, yeah?
Praise
I don't
God.
Care if they're in a wheelchair. I don't care. And believe God for their healing, you're going to see it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Good Lord. You should be feeling the Lord doing something over there.
Oh,
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The glory is Jesus. The Lord, I can't even get it out. Good Lord, it's a strong anointing you got.
Thank you.
Strong anointing that the Lord is, Jesus, placing upon your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord says, go forth and believe his word here.
Yes, Pastor. Praise God, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus.
Go forth and believe his word here.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
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 Rindele mi kando la bosi.
Thank you.
Rababa shando la baki se telaba. Hey, shata la bosi. I hear the Lord say again, go forth and believe his word. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time out to be obedient. Thank you. Hayera la bosi. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Hayera la bosi kando la bosi.
Shando. Ha.
Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah, Jesus.
Stirring those gifts up. He's stirring them up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The Lord caused a shift in your spirit. That's why I know you was doing something to you. That's why I remained quiet. He shifted your spirit on tonight. It was God ordained that you came on the line because you needed to be refreshed.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Because the enemy wanted you to be weary. Chateau. He wanted you to be weary before your ministry even got off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that he really tried to weary you, make you tired. You know, he really tried to make you tired, really by you wrestling with the fact that you're supposed to go or not, and then with the opposition that came along with it.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yeah. But the Lord has caused, I felt a shift in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. I felt the Holy Ghost on me so strong before I got that prayer out good. And before I asked the Lord to stir them gifts up. And while you was praying, the Lord was stirring those gifts up. I don't know if you felt a stirring in your spirit or not.
Yes.
But I felt it for you if you did.
Yes, I felt it.
Yeah. The Lord was stirring those gifts up.
Mm.
He was stirring. And you know what, too? There's an administrative ability that has been fought against and suppressed to a certain degree,
mm-hmm.
too, in you. But the Lord is liberating you. And I also seen the Lord removing burdens off of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord is removing burdens off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And also, this was even some of the things that you were speaking in your tongues too. I'm interpreting part of your tongue, and don't even realize the Lord was telling me, because a lot of things I'm speaking now lined up with the things that you were speaking in tongues.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Wow. I ain't even know I had the gift like that. I'd interpreted some tones before, but that's not a strong gift. Amen. But you're saying what I'm saying lines up with the things that you were speaking in tones.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know. So you don't worry about the opposition. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The opposition, because that's going to come. But you stand flat-footed on that solid rock and on the word of God. And you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and don't you be moved here.
Praise God. Amen.
Don't you be moved here. I'm going to put my information in. Do you have a Facebook?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to type in my name in the chat box, and all you got to do is go there, and you can accept me as a friend, and we can talk from there.
Okay.
Yeah. My name is Apostle Lionel Blair.
Be right into him before you log off, because I'm.
Well, I ain't about to go nowhere right now. I feel a, I feel the anointing. I got a word for a couple of folks. I'm going to type it in the chat box.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a word for quite a couple of folks.
Praise
God. Tonight. Amen. And I just typed it in the chat box. Praise God.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Who's that caller from North Central Texas? Call it. Amen. Caller from North Central Texas? Oh, okay. Alice. How you doing? Amen.
Pastor, you said you typed your information in?
Yeah, type my name in the chat box.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see.
I just signed in because I was on the phone instead of the thing. So maybe it's not showing the message
okay.
that I.
Okay. Delica, when you type, when you just log in like that, it don't show the previous messages. Okay. You see
okay.
It now?
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All you gotta do is type in that name in the little search box in the. Yeah. That'll work. Thank you. Kingdom Outreach Ministries. Who is that? Who is Kingdom Outreach Ministries?
Okay. Can you hear me? This is Kingdom Outreach Ministries.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm well, sir.
Amen. What is your name?
Natalie Davis.
Natalie Davis. You have your own ministry, or is that like an outreach, just an outreach, or is that actually a church?
It's actually an outreach ministry, so not a church in the traditional sense.
Yeah, I feel you. And it's not a ministry yet. Amen.
It's a ministry. It's been established almost 10 years. It is an established
wow.
ministry.
Wow. Amen. Amen. You know what? There's some things that you've been petitioning the Lord for, petitioning the Lord about lately, and even about another opportunity for expansion.
Mm.
And the Lord is going to open the doors for you, because I hear the Lord saying that the doors that are open. That will be open to you will be never ending.
Mm.
The Lord says that you know, you've had some rough times, you know, and people don't really know the full story of what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
You've had some rough times, but the Lord say that the storm is over.
Praise God.
And a lot of things that's been held up. In this season, are finna be released. I see you doing a lot of fasting and prayer too, and in the midst of that fasting and prayer, it's going to release a lot of things for the ministry. Shatalabosi. I see you and a couple of more people, like a little small group, going on a fasting and prayer. I don't know exactly if you're acquainted with some folks or not, but I see you in a little small group. There's a group not that big, probably about like 4, 5, 6 folks. I'm not quite sure, but I don't feel that it's no larger than that. I see you all going on a heavy prayer and consecration, and during that consecration and after, I see the hand of the Lord really moving. And I see a lot of things that was blocked and a lot of doors that were shut to you before being opened unto you. And there's a greater measure of anointing for healing and miracles and deliverance that's coming upon the ministry too as well. The Lord is going to increase you in that area.
Wow.
Notice I said increase, so you must be moving in something now.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And that's a good thing. amen, supernatural manifestations that'll blow a lot of folks' minds. Because this is truly the season of signs and wonders. Not just healings, miracles, signs, and wonders, but signs and wonders. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, a lot of folks just be on the miracle part and forget the signs and wonders. Amen. The Lord will supernaturally manifest stuff. You know, I'm going to give you one example. And that means that a lot of folks, everybody that's listening, you're going to have to take our religious caps off and put our kingdom caps on. Praise God. Have you ever heard of people in the middle of service receiving gold infillings in their teeth?
Yes, I have. I've heard that through another apostle out of Florida. I can't think of his name either. Yes, mm-hmm. I have heard of that.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something. Get ready to see stuff like that and more here.
Wow.
I'm gonna tell you something. I know people now, and it's more than one. You know, think stuff like that is just the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that's so funny. And, you know, I mean, I believe what I believe in, and don't nobody never got to come online, you know, after I say this. You know, you know, if you come on the line again, it's by your choosing. You know, but I stand for the truth. And once God makes something real to me, oh, I'm gonna claim it. And I'm going to proclaim it and say it. I went to this church. Now, I used to believe laughing in the spirit is of the devil. I explained this last time. I used to think that stuff was the devil. I used to preach against it. I did little radio shows against it. You see, people make a whole movement out of it. Now, I don't believe in making a whole movement out of it, but I believe that it is real. Mm-hmm. Amen. And if God wanted to make him, matter of fact, if God wanted to manifest himself in that manner, let him do it. He's God. He do what he want to do. You know, I was going through a real tough time, and this was not too long ago. I was going through a real tough time. And I'm explaining all this for a reason. I was going through a real tough time, and I was on the phone with a prophetess friend of mine, and, you know, she was confirming some things, and we was talking about some things. But my heart was very heavy. And then she started laughing in the spirit. I'm like, this ain't funny. You know, back in my mind, she was like, the Lord is laughing at your situation. You know, he said it's going to be all right like that. And she just started laughing and laughing and laughing. I'm like, Lord, at first. So, you know, you already know I'm looking crazy because I'm looking at that kind of stuff like, you know, and then I had my friends around me. They kind of believed in that didn't happen to them. So I visit this church, right, with them. You know, I'm going to the church all heavy and stuff. And then after church, you know, people linger around and minister to each other, Holy Ghost, the anointing still be there. You know, and people just linger afterwards and get some of the overflow of it. So they were like, well, you know, I was like, man, shoot. I want to receive this and see if it's true because I know what kind of man of God my friend is. So I know he will just fall for anything because I know him, you know. So then the guy was like, why don't you just go to the altar? You know, he's like, there's an anointing that sits on that altar, like that. So I went to the altar. He was like, just lift your hands, just receive. I lift my hands. Let me tell you, this is so funny. I laugh when I think about it. I lifted my hands. My knees started getting heavy, my legs are getting heavy, and then I try to stand up for a little while. After a while, I just drop to the floor. Bam! Drop to the floor, and I'm not easy to just to fall. You see what I'm saying? I'm not easy just to fall like that. Then I got up. I start laughing hysterically. I start laughing and laughing. I couldn't stop. I laughed all the way home. And then I stayed the night at their house. My God. You still that woman of God?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I started laughing and laughing. I laughed myself all the way to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that I woke up in the middle of my sleep, spoke in tongues, laughed, and then went back to sleep. I don't remember none of that part when I was asleep. Saying that to say this, I didn't believe in that, but it happened to me. Rabbi Shatta. You see, people spoke against it, even people that was close to me, but I encountered it. Edabosha. And then not only that, I had that little ghost, the gold dust stuff on my hand.
The glory glitter.
Yeah, it was gold. It was gold, and it was on my hand. Now, I knew I didn't come there with that. Matter of fact, I used the bathroom. I used the bathroom and washed my hands. Some of it was on my clothes. It was all on my hands and everything, you see. So then my friend Carl, his wife Victoria, a diamond appeared to her in the service. See, people think stuff like that is all spooky and no. I mean, when the Bible talks about heaven invades earth, the kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't you know it's a limitless supply of stuff in heaven? Don't you know that there's gold in heaven? The streets paved with gold, right? They walk on gold. And then I think there's a scripture that talks about how you can lay up gold as dust. I'm going to find that. Amen. So we have to take off our religious caps and put on our kingdom caps. Amen. We're going to get there. And one day I'm going to teach you on miracle signs and wonders. But woman of God, I said all that to say this. You're going to experience supernatural manifestations just like that in the ministry. Regardless of whether you heard about it or not, it's just going to appear. And angelic hosts going to just appear when y'all minister. Abel Shah. The angels are coming to assist you for this new season that you're in. I see them. And there's another dimension in the anointing that you are stepping into. And if I be a man of God, I speak this into your life. From this night forward, your ministry will never be the same.
Wow.
It's going to be a total shift. My God, and you're going to notice the difference when you minister. The prophetic will come forth even stronger. My God. My God. Y'all going to lay hands on folks, and y'all not even going to have to wrestle with them demons too much.
Jesus.
They're going to be delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost in the same way.
My goodness.
Yes. See, this is the season of kingdom demonstration. The world want to see something. And we need to get off of our religious horses and take our religious caps off and put some kingdom caps on, amen, and just believe God and just do it. Like Nike, just do it. Like Nike, just do it. The Word of God said it. I want to see it. If I don't see it, that means the Word of God ain't real. And through my experience, I know the Word of God real. So the question is, do we believe? Say, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. So the Word of God really finna come to life in the ministry. Amen. And the Lord is refreshing you all, too. You know, like giving you your second wind.
Yes.
Are you the only one on your staff, or is it somebody else?
It's me. Nope, it's me.
Yeah. I see the Lord really adding to you, though. Whenever I see you in my spirit, I see some more folks added to you. I do. I really see that because. You know, you're going to need help for where you're going.
Yes.
And I strongly believe, and I'm going to ask God this God to do this for you. That the Lord send people around you that's in agreement.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord send people around you that's in agreement. Are you affiliated with any kind of church or anything?
My apostle is Apostle John Eckhart, and I am good friends with Apostle Rodney Jackson. I am out of South Carolina. We're both on your Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Wow. What's your name?
Natalie Davis.
Natalie Davis. Okay. You know Apostle Hill? Lamont Hill?
Lamont Hill out of Indiana. Yes.
Yeah, that's my apostle.
Okay.
He's over me. Yeah, he's
okay.
over me.
Yeah. I know him. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, indeed. He's over me. Yeah. So
and Greg Davis as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just I haven't been really like affiliated with a whole bunch of other ones, but I am. I know Apostle Heath.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a whole bunch of other ones I really don't know.
Okay.
As of yet. But yeah, you're gonna see all kind of stuff like that, and a lot of folks you're gonna introduce a lot of folks to that kind of stuff too.
Mm.
You know, a lot of folks don't believe in that stuff. They some of them even call it witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But I mean, my God, it's just you just be prepared to see it here.
I can't wait till Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My Jesus. Then they shall live gold as dust and the gold of. Amen. Somebody already got the scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. I bless God. I truly bless God for your ministry. You know, I look forward to seeing that thing myself because you felt what I felt in the spirit. My God. Yeah, you're a very powerful woman of God. Amen. You know, I wouldn't advise nobody to try to oppose that.
Mm.
You see, which you have had some opposition, but the Lord is going to cause that to. The Lord is just going to prepare a table before you, the enemy.
Yes.
He's preparing a table before you. Amen. Prophet Damon, he just texted me, said he had to get off the line. Amen. But a woman of God, I bless God for you. My God, you have a powerful ministry. Jeez, I just feel that thing all the way through the phone. My Lord, God gonna do some big things with you.
Yes.
God gonna do some big things with you. Amen. And my God, the prophetic is just gonna it is. My God, you're going to eat, sleep, and breathe the prophetic.
Wow.
You're going to eat, sleep, breathe the prophetic. Every time you wake up, everything about you is just going to be prophetic. Everything about you.
Wow.
Everything about you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I bless God for you, amen. Anybody else on the line?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Paulisha Green, and I'm your friend on Facebook. Basically, I have the spirit of prophecy over me. And, I mean, I just feel like I'm kind of lost right now.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know, I just need some direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
What ministry are you affiliated with?
Well, I go to a church, and I'm from Vallejo, California, and I go to a church, and it's called Jesus is Alive. And there we have a prophet who comes in once a month and everything, but I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, I feel like maybe the season is up. The season has expired. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's like any room for me to grow within this ministry. But
one thing I advise people to do: if you feel like you're not growing where you're at, you need to pray and ask God you know, what do he want you to do? You know, because if you can't grow where you're at, and you have destiny upon your life. Now some people use that as an excuse to church hop. You know, I'm not saying church hop. Amen. But wherever God tells you to go, whatever he tells you in the beginning to stay at, you stay there, despite what it may look like to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. God gonna send you to a place where you can grow. And when you were talking, that's why I asked you that question, because that's the first thing that I felt. See, in this new season, God is removing folks. I know a couple of folks now that are in that process of being removed from their place of worship now, to not only establish their own ministries, but to go to other. Some of them are going to other places of worship. You mm-hmm. see, because in this season, you have to be covered properly. You can't be under a covering that really can't cover you. You know, a mouse can't cover an elephant. I'm just being real. You know, and I felt that your place of worship needs to shift.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're really going to have to pray and seek God on it. Because you have ministry in you, you see, and your giftings have to be properly nurtured, you know, because some people have even tried to damage you. I really feel that. You know, some people have tried to damage you and shut down your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, a lot of people don't receive the package that it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You see. But the Lord is going to cause you to be under an oversight and a covering where you can be raised up, nurtured, and received and set forth into your destiny. See, because this is the season where disobedience is being judged, and God is not going to have his remnant too much longer under disobedience.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of season that we're in. You know, people may get mad and tell me that, you know, you telling people to leave a church. You know, but if you feel like you're not growing, then you need to go somewhere where you can grow. And not just go somewhere where your flesh is pleased, because a lot of times when you grow, a lot of times you may be uncomfortable sometimes, you know, but hey, as long as you're growing, as long as you're progressing, you know, but everybody knows if they're growing or not, you know. So I really feel for you that you really need to really seek God on that. You know his voice, you hear from him. You do. You know, even though sometimes that doubt try to seep in, but you know the voice of God. You
yeah.
do. You
that's
have spoken
good.
Things. You have spoken things, and they have come to pass. So you know when God is speaking. Amen. So that honestly, woman of God, that's truly what's in my spirit for you.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna pray with you too, Father. I pray for guidance, direction, understanding, Father, clarity on some things for the woman of God, Father. I just thank you, Father, that you're raising up, Father, as an end time prophetic voice for a time such as this, Father. And I think that she's going to help heal a lot of wounded in ministry. She's going to help develop a lot of people in their callings and their spiritual giftings. I hear you saying, Father. And, Father, I just thank you for the anointing that you place upon her life. I thank you for the gifting that you have placed in her. And Father, I thank you that it shall not go neglected and it shall not go unnoticed, but it will be properly trained, developed, nurtured, released, and sent forth to do what you called it to do and what you purpose it to do. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
My God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Who else we have on the chat line? We got somebody else. Jesus. Somebody else just called from North Central Texas. Who is that?
Yeah, this is Brother Marcus.
Prophet Marcus, how you doing, sir?
I'm blessed, man of God. How you doing, preacher?
I am doing wonderful, man of God. I felt there with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. I ministered on the ministry of the prophet tonight. I did like a part two to it because the first part, you know, I really didn't get to say everything I needed to say. But tonight I, you know, pretty much ministered the things that the Lord has given me. You know, I might do a part three. I'm depending on what God says because some more things is in my spirit, but it might be for this time or another time.
Amen.
Amen. But I truly bless God for you, man of God. I wanted to come on your line Tuesday, man, but I totally, like, forgot. I had so much going on this week because God is doing so much this week.
Amen.
You know. So I really didn't have a time to really do it. And when I did have time, I was gonna make time to do it, but then I totally forgot.
Amen. Amen, man of God. We got plenty of time. I know you're a busy man. I know you're a man about God's business, I understand. I wanted to get on here earlier. But I had some business to take care of, and I said, "Well, I'm gonna sneak on there and see how the man of God is doing." But I hate that I missed the teaching on it, and I know it was blessed, and you're always a blessing to the body, and we appreciate God for you, man of God.
Amen, amen. I appreciate God for you too. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see Monica Davis, 3000 in the chat room. God bless you. Thank you for logging in. We was teaching on the ministry of the prophet tonight. The Lord revealed some things, and then the prophetic started going forth a little bit on the chat line. Amen. We have Pastor Jackie. Pastor Jackie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, woman of God. How you doing?
Fine.
Amen, amen, amen. You came on the line before, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen. There's a, my God. I don't know if I prophesied this to you before or not, but there's an increase of the prophetic that's really fitting to just overtake you in this season. There's an increase. My God, I see you flowing very heavily in that type of anointing. Because of the season that you're in and the time, the signs of the time that's upon us, you know, the Lord is increasing you. And he's increasing your capacity. I see that scripture, and I might not be quoting it right, but it's like the law enlarge the place of your tent. You know what scripture I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really see that for you. I see the Lord expanding you, and there's a lot of things that you desire to do, but you don't have the means to do it, you know. But I see the Lord really opening a couple of avenues for you. He's giving you favor with certain people. I see him doing that, so that you may do the things that the Lord has placed upon your heart to do. Amen, woman of God. Am I talking good yet?
Amen. I receive it.
Amen. Hey, man, Pastor Jackie, you sound kind of young. Are you young?
No.
Oh, okay, you sound young. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just curious. You sounded kind of young. Amen. I like when people that's young, amen, and they in God. That really excites me. You know, when people are young and God, amen. But you sound young, so that was a compliment. Amen. Amen. But woman of God, that's the word of the Lord for you. Amen. I'm not going to go beyond what he tell me. Amen. Amen. That's another thing that I ministered on earlier. Amen. Sometimes folks try to go beyond what God is saying. You know, that's when you get in the flesh. You know, because God is always speaking, don't get me wrong. But after he's done speaking, you need to be done speaking too.
Amen.
Amen. You know, some folks prophesy. I've had folks prophesy to me for like 30 minutes straight. You know, and you can tell when flesh getting in. You know, you can tell when flesh getting in, you know. So sometimes when the Lord gives you a word, and I've had people prophesy to me for about 30 minutes and all of it be God, and it be God speaking. So, I mean, you got to know when God is saying stop. You know, some stuff I had to write down, you know, so I can't remember all that, but write it down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else on the line that I have not acknowledged yet? Amen.
My
Amen.
Friend Alice is on there.
Who?
Alice from North Central, Texas.
Alice? Hey, how you doing? I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the line. You just keep holding on here. You know, I know it gets difficult sometimes. I know sometimes it feels like, God, where are you sometimes? You know, sometimes we had a moment. I'm like, Lord, you know, I ain't trying to be, you know, but I'm like, I need your help. You know, I really need your help here. You know, like that. You know, you have one of those moments, but you know, you just keep moving forward, keep trusting and believing in God here. And for some reason, I feel that your confession needs to change. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? Amen. All right. It's like sometimes it ain't necessarily that we're not speaks. It's not necessarily that we're speaking the wrong thing, but sometimes we're not speaking the right thing. You understand what I'm talking about now? Amen. I'm just waiting for the response in the chat. What do you say? Hello? Who was that? Amen. All right. But anyway, Alice, I really see that your victory is in your mouth. Amen. The things that God has spoken over your life, you need to start repeating those things. You know, because the enemy really wants to destroy your destiny. He really do. He really wants to destroy your destiny. Yeah, it do it to me. It do it to me every time. That phone hang up every time. Every show, it at least got to hang up one time. Amen. But, yeah, Alice, like I was saying, The power, the Bible says life and death is in the power of your tongue. That word power literally means hand. So it's talking about a creative ability that's in your words. Being that you have a prophetic ministry on your life, you know, that even gives your word even more weight. And the Lord is going to train and equip you in that area, too. I don't know if nobody ever told you that you was called to the prophetic ministry, but that's your call, amen. You can pray about it, seek God about it. You know, I could either be a confirmation or the Lord will show it to you, amen. It might bear witness with your spirit, it might not, but I know it's been, okay. She said it's a confirmation, amen. So that means your words carry a lot of weight in the spirit. And there's some things that's in your life that you need to speak to. Some things won't happen until you speak to it. Amen. And Monica Davis, 3000, I'm going to ask that you call into the chat. Call on the line tonight. There's a word for you also. Amen. But Alice, there's power in your words. Yeah. And as you're walking in the prophetic, you're really going to have to really start opening your mouth and decreeing and declaring some things. Amen. Bible says you decree a thing, so shall it be established. You know, so you keep decreeing here. Yeah. Amen. Start confessing the word, decreeing and declaring what the word of the Lord is. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is going to direct your words. Because that matter of fact, that's going to be a big part of your ministry too. Speaking things into other folks' lives that don't yet exist, but it materialize and pop up. Amen. So you just continue to go forth and do that. Amen. Kingdom Outreach Ministry said, God bless everybody. Good night. See you back on Facebook. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Monica Davis, 3000, I'm just asking that you, could you call in? Could you call in real quick? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, she's on the call. Monica Davis.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Are we friends on Facebook?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you have a very powerful call upon your life, and you are kind of like a straightforward person in a way. And a lot of, sometimes people don't know how to handle that. Sometimes people don't know how to handle you sometimes. You know, they don't know how to receive you. You know, they may not tell you as much as they like to, but they don't know how to receive you. And that comes with your call. You know, some things God got to step you up in, and some things God will have to tone you down in. But there is also, and not by coincidence, I taught on the prophetic tonight, and the Lord told me earlier that most of the people that was on the line were called prophets. And then you have a prophetic ministry on call upon your life as well. I don't know if you're walking in it yet or not, but it's there. And it's very heavy. And I really see an anointing for healing really, really stirring up in a greater capacity in you. And many people have not fully recognized what the Lord has placed in you. Even some things the Lord has placed in you. You've acknowledged some things, but you have not acknowledged too much everything. Some things you might not know is there. I don't know quite what it is. You know, the Bible says you know in part and prophesy in part. I'm only getting parts. Amen. But the Lord is going to cause you to come forth in this season. In this season, the Lord is really going to cause you to come forth. And you know, there's some things that he's removing from around you, too, I see. There's some things that he's removing from your life. Amen, because some things can go where we're going in God. And, you know, I see him removing these things, but he's really adding some things back. Amen. So you just be prepared to go forth here in all, in everything that I might concern you or whatever the case may be. The Lord is going to take care of that. You know, the Lord is really going to move and take care of that here. And the prophetic is stirring up in you in this season. It really is. It's stirring up. It's going to be like troubled waters almost. It's like troubled waters. It's like when the angel came in and troubled the water at the pool. That's how your spirit man going to be. You know, the Lord is stirring up your spirit because, you know, there's a lot of things that's been lying dormant and overlooked. You know, but the Lord said he ain't overlooking it. You know, so you just be prepared, woman of God, in this season to walk in everything that the Lord has called you to. Because it's a mighty work that he's called you to. And people are not going to be able to deny in this season your call. He's not going to let it go down like that. You know, and he never gave you no word like that for nobody. But he said it ain't going to go down like that. Amen. So,
wow.
you just be confident in who the Lord has called you to be. You have children?
No.
You have no children, huh?
No, sir.
Did you ever want any children?
When I was younger.
Huh?
When I was younger.
When you was younger?
Yeah.
I don't know. I see a male of. I see a male around you, a fairly younger looking guy. I don't know who that is, but I sure did see him. He just like flash before me in my vision. Now, are you past childbearing age?
Technically yes. It's hard to explain. I don't want to say it over the phone.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But I pray for people like that too, amen. That have had similar complications, and the Lord is talk about that another time, amen. But for some reason I've seen a male, Jesus, I've seen a male. I don't know what that is, but that other thing we might be able to talk about. When it's not over the talk show. You got a Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. Well, message me on Facebook. I don't know if we're friends or not yet, but my name is Apostle Lionel Blair. I felt some things concerning that. Might be able to message it to you. Jesus, that's heavy. My Lord. You been believing God for healing or something? Or
yeah.
You know somebody that's believing God?
Yeah, I hurt my back about almost a year ago, maybe 8 months, close to a year though.
And you still have trouble with it now, huh?
Yeah, and I'm having problems with my lungs.
Okay, well. I want you, if you can, to lay your hands where your back is at, wherever area that is causing discomfort in your back. I want you to lay hands on your back real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to pray for your back. And I believe God is going to realign your back. And then what describe to me exactly what it is that's what is it, injury, or is your spine crooked, or what? What is it?
I have a synovial cyst that is pressing in on some nerves, and I have degeneration in my back.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now Father, you said by your stripes we are and were healed, Father. So based upon what your son Jesus did on the cross, Father, I speak to her back where she got her hands laid, Father. And, Father, I command that whole entire back to come into realignment with your kingdom right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I command every cyst to be gone, Father. I command everything that's supposed to be there to be there and strengthen, and everything that's not supposed to be there to be gone and to disappear right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and declare that it is so. Let your kingdom come, your will be done in that situation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command her back to be totally healed by the power of God and by the blood of Jesus. Amen. What does it feel like now?
It feels kind of warm.
It feels kind of warm? Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, the Lord is touching your back. And you said you have problems with your lungs. Let them keep working on your back. What you said you have a problem with your lungs, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's wrong with your lungs?
I have bronchitis.
Yeah, bronchitis. Lay your hands where your lungs are at. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command, I command her lungs to be totally aligned with the word of God. I rebuke bronchitis, every spirit of infirmity, command it to loose her body and go in the mighty name of Jesus. I command bronchitis to be healed. I command her lungs to be restored right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Matter of fact, Father, I command her whole entire body to be realigned according to the word of God. I command her body to be lined up with the word of God according to what Jesus did on the cross. Right now, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. I command your lungs to be restored. I command new lungs in the name of Jesus. New lungs. Shatala bosikita bashata. In the mighty name of Jesus, new lungs. I command new lungs, brand new lungs right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I command the old ones to be moved away and the new ones to be put there right now. New lungs in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, what you feeling in your lungs now?
I can finally breathe deep again and it don't hurt.
Amen. 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 And what about your back?
It's not aching like it was.
It's not aching like it was, but you still have some discomfort a little bit?
Not really. I mean, I can feel it getting better.
Amen.
But it doesn't hurt until I start moving around. So.
Okay. Now, I want you to stand up and try to do something that you couldn't do before with your back.
Okay.
I want you to try to do something that you could not do before with your back. Thank you, Jesus. Ararabo shake de la bosia. Roba sike de bosha.
Okay.
Amen. How does it feel?
It's loosening up. I can actually bend over.
What do you say?
I said it's loosening up. I can actually bend over and stuff.
Amen. Father, I thank you for total healing and restoration in her back. I thank you for a testimony for your love and your kingdom, Father. I thank you for her lungs being healed, her back being healed, Father. I thank you that whenever she goes back to the doctor again, Father, that they will find a brand new back and a brand new lungs, Father. And that'll give a testimony unto your goodness, your love, and your grace, Father. And that'll even be a witness unto, Father. I thank you for it. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I bless God for that. I'm excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. I always get excited about healings and miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else believe in God for healing tonight? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Prophetess Monica, you just keep me posted on that. You just keep
okay.
me posted on your back and your lungs and everything. You know. Amen. Is that always wrong with you? Cause I pray for your whole body to be realigned with the kingdom.
My thyroid kind of off whack, and you know they keep changing my medicine trying to get it back, but it's been acting up.
Amen. Father, I speak to thyroids right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to her thyroid. I command it to be totally aligned, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that she won't need near medication for near condition in her body, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, I command perfect health. I speak perfect health to your daughter right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because she can't do what you call her to do, Father, with poor health. So, Father, I thank you for perfect health in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Perfect health, perfect health, perfect health in the name of Jesus. Shatalabo, roba siketalaba. Perfect health in the name of Jesus. Perfect health. I command that your thyroids line up with the kingdom of God and with the word of God and the healing power of God by the blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should be feeling some different stuff going on with you right now. And then Monica?
I'm here.
Yeah. You should be feeling some different stuff going on with you right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to contain myself if I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not used to, you know. Anyway, yeah, I feel it. Something going on.
Yeah, hey, this is God we talking about here. You don't got to contain yourself. I mean, it's God we talking about here. Amen. I thank God. I bless God. Hallelujah. I love healing. I love when God heals. Amen. I love when God heals because that's even more and more proof of his love. Amen. Healing and deliverance is the children's bread. It's for everybody. You know, I don't believe in sick folks in the kingdom. I don't believe in that, you know, because the word of God says we don't have to be, you know. And I don't mean to be too personal, but I feel the Lord realigning some things too, weight wise.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's realigning some things with that too. Amen. Am I on it with that?
Yeah. And you on it?
Yeah. There's been reports of people supernaturally losing weight. And I remember another guy came on the line, and you know, I prayed for him, and he had already started losing. Then you know, after I prayed for him, the Lord told me that he was going to supernaturally drop 80 pounds off of him. You know, he's been losing. He's been kind of losing weight ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord is going to supernaturally drop some weight off. Abasha. Mm-hmm. My God, he's giving you a whole new makeover. He's giving you a whole new makeover over the phone. Amen. Amen. God truly loves you. Amen. We truly love you. Amen. Mm. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you feel now? Let me know now. Let me know what you're feeling. Praise God.
I'm just sitting over smiling and grinning because I'm feeling better. And how long have we been talking about? 5 minutes.
What you say?
I said, I'm feeling better. I said, and we've been talking about 5 minutes.
Mm.
And it's been like everything I turned around.
Hallelujah. I bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, that should be something to rejoice about. Those of y'all that's on the line in the chat room, y'all ought to be rejoicing. Amen. I mean, that's something to rejoice about right there. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord is going to miraculously, he's going to start tonight too. He's going to start dropping some weight off you. Amen. He's going to start doing it miraculously. Miraculous weight loss in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Sora laba kora ba fike de la bosha. What number, Father? Yes, there it is. Thank you, Father. Hey, Shabbat. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't gonna give you the number over the phone. Amen. I don't give you the number, but the Lord is going to drop some weight off. Hallelujah. Amen.
You can get a number?
Huh?
You can get a number?
I can get a number?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I heard at first? I heard the word 100.
Oh, see. I've been praying for that.
Jesus. My Lord. See, now I done released it. I can speak it now. Amen. I speak. Shatolabosi. A miraculous weight loss of 100 pounds, and I command it to begin in your life now. In the mighty name of Jesus. I command it to begin in your life now.
My Lord.
Now. Sa ye tobo, Jesus. Now, I wouldn't be surprised you lose that weight in 100 in a month's time. The way that the Lord doing, the Lord is performing a miracle on you. My Jesus,
hallelujah. See,
that's the gifting of healing and working the miracles that work together. The miracle is your weight loss. That's a miracle there, because that's not something that you're doing. That's something that he's doing. See, the healing in your back and in your thyroids and stuff like that, that's a healing that's taking place, that where it has taken place. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't get no swelling like that, do you?
What'd you say?
You don't get no swelling from time to time?
No.
Okay, that's good. Amen. But the Lord gonna drop that weight from you. Matter of fact, he's doing it now in Jesus' name. He's doing it now.
Hello.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you feel lighter in the morning when you get up, or even before you go to bed. Amen. Then that's the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody else? Anybody else?
Yes, Prophet. This is Alice. Would you pray for my husband's back and neck? He's had surgery in both areas.
Oh, wow. Is your husband saved? Is he sitting by you?
He we're claiming his salvation, and yes,
okay.
He's right here beside me.
Okay, his neck and his back, right?
Yeah.
He lets
yeah.
you do. Do he let you like pray for him sometimes?
Yes, he do.
Okay. Well, here's what I want you to do. Shatolabosi, and there's a healing in your body that needs to take place too, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. The Lord is going to heal you and him. Ha, Shatabasi.
Hallelujah.
He's going to heal you and him. I believe in the same writ.
Thank you.
So, Father, I speak to Alice and her husband. Father, there's no distance in the airwaves. I command total healing to her body. I command everything to line up according to the word of God. Every discomfort, every illness, every ailment, Father, I command that it be broken off of her life. I command that every sickness and every disease be destroyed by the power of the cross, by the power of the cross of Jesus, and by the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus. I command that every sickness be destroyed in her life, in her body. I command that it line up totally with the word of God right now. And I send forth the word to her husband. I command his back and his neck to totally line up with the word of God. I command that it line up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for that powerful miracle, Father, and I thank you for his salvation in this season, in this season, in this season, in this season. We claim him for the kingdom of God in this season, in this season, right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you even now, Father, for her healing, for her healing, for her healing. And that she's going to take her hands and lay it on her husband, and he's going to be healed, and he's going to be healed, and he's going to be healed. You take your hands and you lay it on your husband's neck and his back, and the Lord is going to heal him. The same healing that's taking place in your body is going to take place in his back and his neck. And I'm feeling something in the stomach area, too, something going on with his stomach, but the Lord going to heal that, too, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Father God. We bless you.
Healing in your body now.
God, thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Is it anything that you couldn't do before?
Yeah, because of swelling in my knees and my feet,
Okay, what was it that you couldn't do before?
It's kind of hard for me to bend over.
It's kind of hard for you to bend over?
Mm-hmm.
Because of your knees, or is there any problem with your back
too? Well, I have back problems too.
Yeah, but, what's going on with your back?
I hurt my back a few years ago.
Okay, well, I want you to take your hands and lay it on your back. And we're going to send forth the word and believe God, and he's going to heal your back right now.
Yes,
Father, I thank you for your healing power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. I thank you for touching her back. I command her back to be totally lined up with the word of God, with the healing power of God. I command her back to be lined up with the cross and the blood of Jesus. Right now, you said by her stripes, she is and was healed, Father.
Thank you
even now. Father, according to that word, that her back is healed. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command her back, her knees, her feet to be lined up with the kingdom of God. I command all swelling to go down and to stay down in the mighty name of Jesus. I command all that fluid to be dried up. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that everything about her body becomes normal in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And you wanted some weight loss too, right?
Yes.
How many pounds you want off?
50.
Father, I speak 50 pounds off of her right now, miraculously. 50-pound weight loss right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
50 pounds, I command that she lose 50 pounds
now
in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it begin now. I command it to begin now. Miraculous weight loss in the mighty name of Jesus. How does your back feel now?
It feels good. And my neck. My neck feels good also on my shoulder.
Okay. Well, I want you to try to bend over. I want you to try to bend over. Do something that you couldn't do before.
I can bend over.
Hallelujah.
And I'm also stooping. I'm also able to stoop, and I'm not hearing that fluid in my knees either.
Okay. Did you have fluid in your knees and your feet tonight?
Yeah, it was swollen.
Okay, what does it look like now?
It still looks swollen.
Okay.
But it's usually when I'm bending over, I can hear a sound like it's like fluid or like it's crunching or something like that,
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
it's bone
yeah.
to bone. But
yeah.
I'm stupid right now, and I'm not able to hear any sounds, and I don't have any discomfort when I'm
okay.
stupid.
Well, I'm going to believe God that the swelling go down completely tonight.
Amen.
Father, I speak to the swelling in the knees. I command it to dry up completely tonight,
yes.
right now, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lay your hands on your knees. Lay your hands on your knees. We're going to go with the knees first. We're going to work all the way down tonight.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to her knees right now. I command it to come into total alignment with the kingdom of God. I command that it comes in total alignment with the cross of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command that her knees be healed and that the swelling go down and even the tension in her knees as far as like nerves in the joints. I command all that to line up with the kingdom of God, and I command her to be healed now, and I command the swelling to go now in the name of Jesus. I command that swelling to disappear right now, right now, right now, right now, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, what is it doing now?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's still the same.
It's still the same?
Mm-hmm.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the swelling going down in the knees right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. And, Father, I thank you for the swelling going down in the knees.
Thank
the
you.
Swelling going down in the knees right now. And I thank you for a mighty testimony in
mm-hmm.
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, if you can, go down to your feet. Touch
mm-hmm.
your feet. Lay your hands on your feet.
Okay, yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Father. I thank you for all the swelling going down. I command that it go down. I take authority over it. Every
yes.
spirit of infirmity, loose your body, never to return again. I cast you to the dry places. I command that you leave now. In the mighty name of Jesus, every swelling in the feet, I command that it go down. I command that it lines up with the kingdom of God right now in the mighty name of Jesus. No more swelling ever again. In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
I command that it lines up with the kingdom of God, the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Swelling didn't go down yet? Okay.
No,
so,
not yet.
Okay.
But I believe God. I believe it's going down.
If he can heal that back, he can heal the knees.
Amen.
If he can heal that back.
Amen.
If he can heal that back, he can heal that knee.
Amen.
Amen. But you lay your hands upon your husband's neck and his back here. I'm gonna pray right now that the Lord do it, but
mm-hmm.
you do it too here.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I send forth the word to her husband. I command that his neck and his back line up with the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Every discomfort, every ailment, Father, everything that's afflicted his body. Father, I thank you even now, Father, that it won't even look like that he even had surgery.
Hallelujah.
It won't even feel like that he need anything to reconstruct his neck or his back, Father.
Yes,
but, Father, I thank you that you've given him a new neck and a new back, Father. And I thank you for the testimony of Jesus Christ being shown in his life, Father. And I thank you for your love being extended towards them this day. In Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, he's healed right now.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Okay. How does your back feel now?
Amen. Amen. It's better.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Better.
I bless God. I bless God.
Better. Amen.
I bless God. Monica Davis, how you doing over there?
I'm good.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Jackie, healing for your husband and healing in your body. Okay. Pastor Jackie, you on the line?
Yes, sir. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my husband's been having problems with his body and also his blood pressure. And I've been having, like, blood pressure problems too, and
mm-hmm.
also I really want to lose a lot of weight too. Yeah, and my husband has problems with his legs and some male problems that he's having too.
Okay.
Issues in his body. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, Father, I lift up Pastor Jackie, Father, and her husband. Father, I decree healing according to the scripture that states, Father, that by your stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, that she and her husband, Gordon, are healed and were healed, Father. So that means that the healing is already complete. And, Father, I thank you that even now, Father, that you're lowering the high blood pressure. I command that it be regulated right now in the name of Jesus. And I command it to stay that way. I command that their blood pressure stay regulated all the days of their life. And, Father, I thank you even now, Father, that you're working out everything that's in Gordon's body. I command his whole entire body to line up with the kingdom of God from the inside out, Father. I command everything to line up with your will, your way, Father. And I command everything to line up with the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And, Father, Pastor Jackie, Father, I decree and declare right now, Father, that she is healed from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. High blood pressure, spirit of infirmity, loose their bodies, both of them, in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure, I command that you be regulated in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you, Father. I don't know how much weight you want to lose, amen, but I'm just going to speak 80 pounds in the name of Jesus. 80 pounds, Father. I command 80 pounds to be miraculously dropped off of in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Gordon, do Gordon need to lose weight too?
Yes, he does. The doctor's been telling him for a while he needs to lose a lot of weight.
Amen. Well, I'm gonna just speak 100 over Gordon. Amen.
Yes.
Speak 80 pounds for you and 100 for Gordon. Father, I send forth the word like Jesus did the centurion soldier. I send forth not only the word of healing, but I send forth the word of miracle. Father, 80 pounds, Father, drop miraculously drop off of Gordon right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I command 80 pounds be dropped off of him. Let it begin now. I command that it begins now in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, he is healed right now in Jesus' name. And, Father, Pastor Jack, Father, 80 pounds for the woman of God, that she may effectively do what you call her to do in this season. In the mighty name of Bokura Baba Shando, send Elibika Sotola Bokura Basikete Biasha, Randi Divi Bokosotola Bakasate Babasi, Rindi Le Masunda Le Makandola Basi de Boshi, Restik in the Bokura Basikete in the Bosha, Reste La Bakasotola Bokoda Basi, send Le Masola Bokoda Basi, Rindele Masotola Bokura Basi. Yeah, there it is right there. Shokota da Basi. Setele de Bokosotola Ba Ete de la Bosha. Rogala Basondele Makanda. Rimala Masondele de Bikiste Telabo. Roshokota Bokosa Kete Biasha. Rindele de Bosha Terabasi. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I command that it so right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And it is done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless God on tonight. Amen. For all of you all that have come on the line. And those of you all that stuck in there, amen. I bless God for Monica's healing, all y'all healing. Amen. Because the Lord truly desires to heal his people. Amen. Sickness is not in the will of God. Sickness is not in the will of God, amen, for your life. And I just bless God for his will being fulfilled in you all's lives. Amen. I really do bless God for that. Amen. Are there any closing remarks before we, my God. My Jesus. Amen. Any closing remarks before we close out?
I just thank God for me coming on the line tonight.
Amen.
That, with my friend Alice. She told me that she was off tonight before I came in. It seems like I'm always coming in too late to hear the message, but I do go back and listen to it.
Amen. Amen. And who was that just speaking?
Pastor Jackie.
Okay. All right. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I truly, truly thank God for you. Amen. The healing has just went forth. My God, that was very powerful. Monica Davis, how you hanging over there now?
I'm doing excellent.
Amen. Tell me what all is tell me what all has changed.
My back has stopped hurting.
Amen.
I could finally breathe in and out without any chest pain.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.
I was extremely tired before I called in, and now it's like I got energy I didn't have before.
Wow. I thank God for that. Wow. I truly bless God. Man, I thank God for his wonderful love, his wonderful grace. Amen. I guess 8 says, can you cast out demons? Guess 8, what is your name? Amen. I can't cast out nothing. It's Jesus. He do the casting out. Amen. Amen. He just gives us authority. Amen. It's the authority that he's given us, not authority ourselves. Amen. I can't heal not one soul. Amen. The people are oppressed with demons on the willing to help. I mean, sure. Sure. I mean, you know, are you going to bring them on the line? Or what? How long have you been on this line for? Hallelujah. And you know what, too? I was going to do a segment on deliverance ministry. I was talking to Prophetess Green about that. I'll call you privately. Do you have a Facebook? Amen. Because if you have a Facebook, I can definitely. Amen. But I tell you what, you put your phone number up, and I'll call you. I don't have a Skype. I don't have a Skype. Amen. I don't even have a webcam right now. And if I was at my friend's house, I probably would be able to talk to you, but I'm at my house, so I can't talk to you. But if you... Do you have a Facebook? And Alice, I saw your comment too. I'll address that in a second. Amen. Yes, I do, but I don't publish my phone either. Amen. I don't publish my phone number on it. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'll give you my email address, and you can email me. I'm going to put my email address on there. Amen. And I'm always willing to help anybody I can. Well, honestly, I'm willing to help you. Amen. Amen. Monica Davis says she feel like dancing. Come on, Jesus. Amen. Guess eight. I'm willing to help you. Pray for you. Can you call in on the line? Can you call the line? The number's at the bottom of your screen. 724-444-7444. You will contact me. Where will you contact me at? Will you contact me on Facebook or my email? Okay, well, I understand that it's personal. I understand that. I definitely understand that. Email. Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right, I definitely, if you email me, you know, I would definitely get in contact with you sometime tomorrow. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a note of it to check my email first thing in the morning because I take stuff like that seriously. I really do. Amen. And not only that, I get a team of folks to really keep you uplifted in prayer. Amen. And whatever the situation is, just know that God is able to deliver. He is the deliverer. Amen. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. And I do mean all. Amen. So whatever the enemy is trying to do, no weapon formed against the people of God will be able to prosper in this hour. And you are in a new season too, guest. And I don't know exactly who you are, but you are in a new season too. And with the new season, the enemy is really trying to take you out before you even obtain what God wants you to obtain and before you even go forth and do what God's called you to do. But the same thing that God is going to bring, God is bringing you out of now because I'm speaking at it to your life because I feel some of your warfare. The Lord has allowed me to intercede for you. The things that the Lord is bringing you out of yourself, you're going to help bring many others out. Amen. You're gonna bring many of us out. So just hold on. Amen. When that devil comes, you got the power to rebuke his butt. Amen. You have the authority. So we will be in contact. We will be in contact. And I love you here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about, my goodness, Jesus. I'm just excited about everything, my Lord. My Lord Jesus. God is just so awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, guess eight has left the chat. All right, no other words. Hallelujah. Any last words? Speak now. Forever hold your peace, like they say, before you get mess. Amen. Amen. Alice, how you feel now? Alice? Amen. Monica, you still on the line?
Apostle, yes. Apostle, the swelling is going down.
Come on, Jesus. That was
Amen. I could tell that my shoes that I had on my feet, at first they were kind of tight. They're not as tight anymore. So the swelling is going down. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Amen.
Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I speak that speaking your needs and everything else, amen, going to be totally normal.
Amen.
Amen. Never to return again. Never again will that afflict your body in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Never again.
Amen.
Never, ever again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My God. Hey.
Thank you,
come
Jesus.
Come on now. Come on now.
Woo.
Mm-mm. Amen. Monica said, let me dance for your blessing too.
Come yeah, on, yeah. Go ahead, dance for me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nobody have, I don't know why this just came to me. It's a little weird stuff be coming to me at times. Nobody have a limb shorter than the other, huh? Like a leg or something shorter than the other.
Who you talking to me? Alice.
Anybody. Anybody.
Oh.
Amen. Amen. That must have been for caller 8 then. You know, because I picked up somebody got a limb just a little bit shorter than the other one. Amen. God bless you too, Pastor Jackie. Amen. God bless you, guest 9. Amen. You caught us at the tail end of the thing, but you missed a powerful word on the ministry of the prophet. And, my God, you also missed a very powerful healing go forth. And God bless you, guest 9, though. You can go back when the call is done at a later time. And listen to the message. And then the guest 9, God bless you once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What that sweater looking like now, Alice?
It's all right, Apostle. It's all right. I'm telling you. I don't feel as much pressure on my knees either.
Come on, Jesus.
The swelling's going down. My toes are not as big as they were.
Mm. My Jesus.
Yes,
God is a healer, ain't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. My feet don't feel as tight as they did when you was praying for me. Mm.
Amen. Come on, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
See, the thing about it is, we got to realize, my Jesus. God don't want nobody sick in his body. You see what I'm saying? Jesus ain't coming back for a sick church. He's coming back for a well church. Here, and in this season, this is the season of kingdom demonstration. I mean, expect a whole lot of healings to take place here. Matter of fact, God gonna raise y'all up so fast and lay hands on the sick, y'all ain't gonna know what happened to y'all. Amen. The same thing that the Lord healed you of tonight is the same thing that the Lord's gonna use you all to go forth and lay hands on people to be healed in the same manner. Hallelujah. My God, I'm excited. I am going to tell this testimony. I'm going to tell this testimony. Amen. I don't know who's going to tell it more, me or y'all. My Jesus. Are y'all sure one of y'all don't have a limb shorter than the other one? Amen. I'm really feeling something like that going on. You know, sometimes we can have a leg or something that's shorter than the other one. It could be like a half an inch or an inch, and it'll throw our whole body out of whack. Amen. Amen. But we'll find out. Hallelujah. All right, we've been on here for almost 4 hours now. Thank God. I bless God. Amen. I'm finna go call it a night now. Amen. I truly enjoyed God. Amen. I'm really rejoicing His word. My God. Y'all write me on Facebook here and let me know. Let me know the testimony. Even in greater detail. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to close out now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you are doing. Hallelujah. Father, I just, my God, you're so wonderful, Father. I thank you for healing your people on tonight, Father, on the line. Yes, Lord, I felt that. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, your mercy, Father, because truly, Father, you are the healer, you are the deliverer, Father. We're just vessels. Father, bless your people, Father, the ones that heard, Father, and the ones that will hear. And, Father, even for guest eight, Father, who's dealing with some very heavy stuff right now, Father, I just ask, Father, that you would give them a peace of mind. And, Father, even as they email me, Father, I just ask, Father, that you would just begin to work it out for them, Father, even before I get to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, continue to heal, deliver, and set your people free, and continue to wrap your loving arms around your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. I'm about to call it a night. Amen. It's kind of late. But it was well worth it. My God. Just to see one, not only one person, but two people, three, four. Hold on. How many folks got here? Hold on. Because we got some husbands in there, too. Amen. Think about five folks that got here. Yeah, five. That's right, Alex. Alex, you're right, five. Five folks got here on the line tonight. I bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. It don't take God long. Amen. All you got to do is speak the word and have some faith. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. Good night. And I will see y'all on the next show. I don't know when the next show is going to be scheduled. I would definitely post it on Facebook and let everybody know. Amen.